Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
And it is Thursday, March 25th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, AstraZeneca issued update phase 3 trial data for its COVID-19 vaccine on Wednesday after facing accuracy questions earlier this week surrounding a preliminary report from its U.S. study. The company now says its vaccine is 76% effective in protecting against symptomatic cases of the virus. A release issued on Monday reported a symptomatic efficacy rate of 79%. The updated report maintains that the shot is 100% effective against severe disease and hospitalization. A slate of U.S. health officials criticized the company in recent days for what some claim was data cherry picking in an effort to make the results appear more favorable.
Well, they were using the term a gajillion, and I think that's what threw people off.
Really threw people off.
Yeah, it's not
even a number. Billion D would have sounded better.
Billion to be, at least with some
mayor. The National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease revealed on Tuesday it had been informed the UK-based company may have included information from its U.S. results that provided an incomplete view of the efficacy data. AstraZeneca said at the time the figures were based on a pre-specified interim analysis and vowed to share updated analysis in the coming days.
I think some people, are not quite sure on the whole purpose of all these, but I think the thing to remember is that if you get the vaccination and you get it, it diminishes your body's response to the virus. So that's the end result. I mean, even if you do get it, it doesn't mean you won't get it if you get the vaccine.
But if you do, the virus will be less?
It's going to mitigate it. That's my understanding.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, White House chief medical advisor, called the situation unfortunate and said it was likely AstraZeneca would issue a modified statement. The updated results include data collected from 190 symptomatic cases across more than 32,000 participants, an increase of roughly 50 symptomatic cases studied compared with the data set released on Monday. The findings suggest the vaccine is more effective in patients 65 and older than previously understood, with a newly reported efficacy rate of 85% for that population, up from the previous stated 80%. AstraZeneca reiterated Wednesday that the vaccine was well tolerated among participants and that no safety concerns were identified.
Preston, I've reviewed a kabillion cases and the data seems very promising.
Well researched. Yeah.
The company faced a separate backlash in recent weeks over reports of blood clotting in conjunction with its vaccine, which is already approved and in use by dozens of countries around the world. Several European nations suspended, then resumed use of the vaccine after independent safety reviews. Two men are accused in a string of Target thefts in 5 Pennsylvania counties and 1 store in New Jersey. According to police, they are after high-priced items, including electronics and appliances like Shark robot vacuums.
I'm surprised you haven't gotten John Wick all over this, Kathy.
You leave my Targets alone.
Yeah, come on.
Investigators spoke to Fox 29 and said thefts at Target stores.
Where's Kathy today? I don't know. She had some camo on. She left.
Seemed to be up right
Whispered
now.
Whispered something about Parabellum and headed out the door.
If you want Target, prepare for war.
Sometimes you'll get little items at a store, like I don't know, just something like a small little like lipstick or something that you throw in the cart.
Right.
Like sometimes I've missed that and like I'll find it while I'm at my car and I'm like, oh no, what do I do? Do I just put the cart back? They're gonna think I stole it. What should I do here? So this is not my cup
No,
of tea.
You're not good for this.
They're saying that police hope that people who go to Target often, like myself, that it's going to be to their advantage in helping identify these people. So Richland Township Police say that the men and women hit their Quakertown store 3 times on March 13th, 14th, and the 17th. So they're saying, I guess the employees do start to recognize the people that are there.
Yeah.
You know, I think that all the time when I go, I'm like, I saw this cashier yesterday. I wonder if she's like, God, this lady's
back
again?
That's the bitch that stole the lipstick.
Seriously. The trio made off with at least $6,400 worth of merchandise, but they went back to the same store 3 times.
Well, that old thing that the old adage that the thief never returns to the scene of the crime is bullcrap.
Yeah.
You've reported on many stories, Preston, where somebody just keeps going back.
And then, of course, you have Back to America where he goes, that's the 5th time this guy's hit this place, but I don't think he's going to come back anymore.
So the thieves left the store in a white 2007 Chevrolet Tahoe. According to police, the two men were also caught on camera at one store in Philadelphia, one in New Jersey, and stores in Phoenixville, Springfield, Wincote, Malvern, and Wayne. If you have any information, please contact police. Voting mostly along party lines, the U.S. Senate on Wednesday confirmed former Pennsylvania Health Secretary Rachel Levine to be the nation's Assistant Secretary of Health. She is the first openly transgender federal official to win Senate confirmation. The final vote was 52-48. Levine was serving as Pennsylvania's top health official since 2017 and emerged as the public face of the state's response to the coronavirus pandemic. The Harvard graduate is expected to oversee health and human service offices and programs across the United States. President Joe Biden cited Levine's experience when he nominated her in January. Levine will bring the steady leadership and essential expertise we need to get people through the pandemic, no matter their zip code, race, religion, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability, Biden said. Transgender rights activists hailed Levine's appointment as a historic breakthrough. Few trans people have ever held high-level offices at the federal or state level. A pediatrician and former Pennsylvania physician general, Levine was appointed as Pennsylvania's health secretary by Democratic Governor Tom Wolf in 2017. She won confirmation by the Republican majority Pennsylvania Senate. However, Senator Pat Toomey, a Pennsylvania Republican, voted against Levine's confirmation on Wednesday. In sports this morning,
ball sacks are yummy.
The Sixers, who have won three straight and nine of their last 10, continue their road trip with a game in Los Angeles against the Lakers tonight. For the Lakers, LeBron James and Anthony Davis are both out due to injuries. And for the Sixers, Joel Embiid continues to sit out because of his injuries to his left knee and a bone bruise. Despite the team's injuries, the Sixers are still in first place in the Eastern Conference with a record of 31-13. And the Lakers are in fourth place in the West at 28-16. Tip-off is set for 10 o'clock. The Flyers will look to end their three-game losing streak when they take on the New York Rangers tonight in South Philly. The puck is set to drop at 7 o'clock. Referee Tim Peel will not work another game in the NHL after getting caught saying he wanted to give the Nashville Predators a penalty in their win over the Detroit Red Wings on Tuesday. And I think we have the clip of that.
No, we don't.
Oh, we don't.
Okay. We'll play with it later
on. Yeah, we got it.
NHL Vice President of Hockey Operations Colin Campbell made the announcement saying that Peel would no longer be working NHL games now or in the future. The 53-year-old Peel was set to retire after this season. He has been an NHL on-ice official since October 1999, refereeing 1,334 games. New England Patriots offensive tackle Justin Herron was honored by was honored as a hero by the Tempe, Arizona Police Department for helping to stop an attempted sexual assault. Police say a 30-year-old suspect was seen pushing a 71-year-old retired teacher to the ground. Herron and the second man, Murray Rogers, intervened. Detective Natalie Barella of the Tempe Police Department said, "We are here to honor two good Samaritans that intervened during this vicious attack and detained the suspect until police could arrive and make sure that he was taken into custody." And the police chief said that they truly saved this woman's life. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thanks a bunch, Kathy. And we say hello to Thursday morning. We have some stuff that's taking place. Some guests are going to be joining us. We're going to talk to this gentleman, Derek Fitzgerald. And he is doing this 156 over 24 challenge, which is a cycling fundraiser, and it's for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And Casey, what's the story? Is it 24 hours or?
He's going to be cycling for 24 hours straight. Now, he's going to be on a stationary bike, but he's asking people to join him between May 22nd, 10 a.m. to May 23rd at 10 a.m. to ride with him. Now, I'm going to have my own team, and we're going to be on actual bicycles. I'm not going to be able to ride for 24 hours straight, so we're going to do it in shifts, right?
All
so
right,
I'll start
so
with
cool.
a two-hour shift, and but he's going to attempt. He's also a heart transplant recipient.
Yeah,
right.
So it's amazing what they can do.
Yeah, he's doing this with somebody else's heart and has been for a while now, and so he's just going to give you all the sights, sounds.
So where is he starting from, and where is he finishing?
I think he's going to start from his home
and finish in
and
his home.
And he's going to finish in his home.
Okay. Yeah.
So we'll talk to him later on this morning. Pretty interesting story. And we also have our buddy Brad Williams.
Yeah, hey!
The comedian will be at Helium Comedy Club next Thursday. We have a few days off, so we will not be able to have him on next week. We will have him on today. We'll have him on anytime. That dude's a freak, man. He's
absolutely
awesome.
He is. He's got some wild stories, as always.
I love his wife is super cool. We got, next time we have him in, we'll have to see if we can get his wife in, because his wife has all sorts of cool stories.
Yeah.
She's
like
a fourth degree taekwondo black belt.
Yep. All right, so we have those things taking place. We have the guests on the program. We have some stuff to give away, and we'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Thursday morning.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
We appreciate you hanging in there with us. So why don't we take a 5-minute break?
Why don't we take a 5-minute break?
All right, so we'll come back in a moment and we'll get the stupid question, the entertainment report, and more. We'll return shortly.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So, stupid question. We're going to give away a $50 gift card for Wilson's Secret Sauce Barbecue Restaurant. Lucky you. Question that I have for you this morning is, the term Peeping Tom originates from the legend of a famous naked lady.
Mm-hmm.
And whom would that be? 215-263.
Naked lady.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that naked lady over there.
The term Peeping Tom originates from a legend of a famous naked woman. Who was that woman? 215-263-WMMR. We'll go through some birthdays while we're waiting for your answer.
Peeping Tom.
Thursday, March 25th, a big one in the world of rock and roll. Mr. Elton John celebrates his birthday today.
One of my favorite Elton John songs is playing right now. Yeah.
This could be, and I've told you guys it before, and it's a hard time. It's a hard thing to put your finger on a favorite song of all time. But this is one of those songs that just always makes me feel good.
And I
have happy memories from my childhood from it as well.
Okay. Exactly the same for me. It was a great part of my life. The way it's produced, the faux audience, the whole everything is just great.
Yeah,
and to me, this is Elton John, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road territory, which, God, it was everything.
Yeah. The echo on his voice in this, everything is just excellent. And then, you know, Funeral for a Friend, Love's Bleeding. He does these big anthemic pieces. And
Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting.
Oh, man.
Going all the way back to his earliest stuff. I used to sit, I mean, deep stuff. There's a song he does. If you want, one of the greatest live albums of all times is his album from the Sydney Opera House. Double live album. It was after he had a whole bunch of polyps removed. Remember, he had a big vocal issues. They didn't know if he'd ever be able to sing again.
Yeah.
And so he did it with the symphony orchestra over there. It's just an amazing out. It's right after Blue Moves.
I told you guys a couple of weeks ago that I auditioned for a play at the Media Theater, and you brought your own music and you brought your own song, and I brought an Elton John song. I tried to do the Border Song.
Yeah. Oh,
and
really?
It was in my car, I sounded great.
Right.
But
yeah.
When I was there naked on the stage, I was like, oh, you can't do this like Elton John.
Why did they have you naked?
Elton John is amazing, and he celebrates his 74th birthday today, so happy birthday. Paul Michael Glaser.
The Elton John
of television shows.
This show was simultaneously horrible, and I loved it.
Starsky and Hutch?
Yeah.
I loved it.
I loved that they were undercover, as they make mention of it in the movie. They're undercover cops driving around in the loudest fire engine red hot rod.
Yep. Gran Torino.
Mm.
Zebra 3, by the way, was the name of, that was their code.
Is this what he looks like now? Person, there's a picture up in the studio
we
here.
Got a picture of him with a big bushy beard and big curly hair. So I think he's rocking his COVID look right now.
Yeah.
He's 78 years old today. It's Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sarah Jessica Parker is on the track. Sarah Jessica Parker is on the track. I was watching Footloose the other day, the original one, and I said to my wife, I said, it's Sarah Jessica Parker. No!
I forgot. I didn't know she was. Was she the friend of...
She's the friend of Laurie Singer.
Laurie Singer, yeah. Okay. It's been so long since I've seen that movie. I had no idea.
She is 56 today. Gloria Steinem, the feminist activist and founder of Ms. Magazine, is 87. Lark Voorhees. That's Lisa Turtle.
Yes, it is.
From Saved by the Bell. She is 47 today.
As the legend goes, Lark Voorhees was the one that all the guys of the Saved by the Bell cast were enamored of.
Really?
Yeah, even over Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Right.
The other.
She's adorable. Kind of has gotten away from all of that. Yeah. I think she had some mental issues or something.
Or something.
Or something weighed heavily on her, and she just needed to step away from all of it.
Well, man, she was hot, though. She was in that Boys to Men video. Was it On Bended Knee or Water Runs Dry or one of those?
I think so.
One of those two. Yeah. And then it's a shame because she, like, messed with her face a little bit, right?
Did she? I haven't seen her. Really, I don't know. Much, yeah.
So she's 47 today. Bonnie Bedelia.
Yes.
From the Die Hard movies.
One and two.
Mrs. McClane, right?
That's the last time she appears in those two. None other, right?
I believe so. I believe that's the case. Parenthood. She was also in that.
I love her.
73 today. Gene Shalit, the movie critic.
Oh, my God.
Gene Shalit. 95.
I used to really like his movie reviews. He was on the Today Show. Mm-hmm. Had sort of weird hair and a big bushy mustache.
Correct.
That was his deal.
Richard O'Brien, who is the actor and writer. He wrote the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and he played Riff Raff in the movie. Great character.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you haven't seen it, he's kind of the mastermind of the whole thing. But, yeah, that was a massive success for him.
So it was like off the main drag theater production. Then it became this underground theater sensation, and then they made a movie out of it, which didn't do that well. And then it became a midnight screener movie sensation. It's had a wild life. That
I did the midnight screening a couple of times of Rocky Horror, and every time I never made it to the end of the movie. I fell asleep. Not that the movie bored me. It was late at night.
Yeah,
I was
midnight.
A teenager. Yeah. We, of course, were smoking weed in the movie theater, which was kind of allowed for that particular showing. And then I'd pass out before it was over.
Man, I'd like to see a return. That was such a cool thing. And I wasn't smoking pot, but I loved the midnight movies. You'd get The Wall.
Heavy metal.
Yep. You'd get all these quirky, you'd get John Waters films. Yep. It was all part of a thing. The midnight screenings were really cool.
And you know what? And now with places like Movie Tavern and so on, if you do want to have a beverage, the midnight movie thing could be a blast.
But you got to pick the right movies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe we should, when all this is over,
let's do that.
It's really late, though. I don't know.
How about a noon stream?
I couldn't even see the early morning
stream. Stay awake when I was a teenager.
Yeah. Could I get some porridge, please?
Let's do some 5 a.m. screenings.
Nice piece fruit.
Could I get nice piece fruit for Rocky Picture Show?
We were talking off air about getting old and how you know when you're old. Yeah, when you can't stay up through.
Dude,
a movie.
I still, for me, I
like
do
the noon idea better.
Thanks. Yeah. It's 12.
Yeah.
Do it
with
a drink, though.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, midnight somewhere.
Of course.
And nice piece of food.
So Richard O'Brien is 79 today. Marcia Cross from Melrose Place and Desperate Housewives.
We say it every year on her birthday, Kathy. That Melrose Place episode where she took her wig off and you saw that huge... I mean, I could hear people around me in other houses like... screaming.
I was young, and I remember being like, oh, my God, what?
What's the name of the attorney from the O.J. trial?
Marcia...
Oh, yeah.
Clark.
Yeah.
I confused those two.
Yeah.
That's now, what I thought we were talking about.
Marcia Cross, I believe, is cancer survivor. Did she have anal cancer,
she
I think?
Did. Yes, yeah. She did, yeah.
I don't know what that means.
She's not enough tomatoes.
Not enough.
Wait, hold on.
Isn't that what your mom said for Farrah Fawcett?
She had
too much butt stuff and not enough tomatoes.
Wait, but Farrah Fawcett was...
No.
Anal cancer,
Was it anal cancer? Yep.
Yes.
Yes, but the tomatoes thing skin cancer.
Oh, skin cancer.
Yeah, you're conflating the two.
The anal cancer, my mom said to me on the phone, she said, well, you know what that's from, right?
Right.
No, Mom, I don't. Why don't you tell me?
Too much Parcheesi. Yeah,
they're showing the scene here in the ba-boom.
Oh, where she takes the wig off.
Yeah.
All right, so anyhow, Marsh Cross is 59. James McDaniel, actor from NYPD Blue, played Lieutenant Fancy. He was in Malcolm X. He is 63. Danica Patrick, the driver, turns 39 years old.
Is she a driver anymore?
I think she retired. Right?
Yeah. Who's she with now? She was from Aaron Rodgers to...
Yeah, I'm not sure what celeb or if she's with a celeb right now, but she has had a few high-profile relationships. She's 39. She's a tiny little thing. We saw her.
You saw her.
Drive
for autism.
Drive for autism.
Did you go over or did you not want to bother?
Dude, she was surrounded by handlers.
Yeah.
And like when I saw her.
I got a picture with her.
I didn't.
But we caught her on the course.
Yeah, she was being ushered by and I was like, well, there she goes. And so, you know. But nonetheless, I've had a crush on her for a while. And then the last birthday I saw, also very cute, Jenny Slate.
Yeah.
The actress is 39 today. Bored to Death, Saturday Night Live. Great movie. I love it with her and Chris Evans. They were a couple for a while, but it's called Gifted.
Yep.
Really good movie. So she turns 39. She does also a bunch of voices in animated films as well. All right. Let's see if somebody knows the answer to this stupid question. The term Peeping Tom originated around the legend of a famous naked woman. And who was it? 215-263-WMMR. Let's go to Chris for the answer. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Good morning. Sorry to bother you at work.
No, no such thing, sir. So what famous legend are we talking about? Who's the naked person?
Lady Godiva.
You're correct. Lady Godiva. And I guess Tom spies on Godiva and is struck blind. And there you go. So there's the peeping
sucks.
Tom term came up. You know what I did know reading this little trivia card here was that her naked ride. I don't know the legend of Lady Godiva. She was protesting taxes, apparently.
Yeah. So yeah. That's how I do it.
That was a story, right?
When I show up at the IRS to protest taxes, I'm buck naked.
You should be. On a horse.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to some of the entertainment stories. Prince Harry has long been an outspoken foe of misinformation on social media.
I hate misinformation.
And in the press. So he's joined the Aspen Institute's Commission on Information Disorder as a commissioner.
Kids who don't read so good.
He will work with 14 other commissioners and three co-chairs on a six-month study on the state of American misinformation. Journalist Katie Couric, Color of Change President Rashad Robinson, and Chris Krebs, a former director of U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, are the co-chairs. According to Krebs, this information crisis undermines confidence in our democratic institutions and strikes right at the foundation of society. In an interview with Meghan Markle, he had spoke out with Oprah about his experience with the media, characterizing it as largely negative, racist, and abusive. So he is going to join this commission.
Is he getting paid for this, or is it just part of a consulting thing? Because he's daisy chaining a lot of gigs together that have these elaborate titles, and I don't know what he's doing.
I'm guessing no, but you never know. We'll have to see.
Maybe he gets lunch.
So this is interesting, and I have a few heavy stories in the entertainment news this morning, but Sharon Stone is speaking out about her decision to reveal her past sex abuse. She told the New York Times that in her forthcoming memoir, The Beauty of Living Twice, she recalled horrific memories where she and her sister Kelly were sexually abused by their grandfather kids, right?
That's disgusting.
So she says they made the decision together. She said, we spoke to my mother, and at first she was very stoic and wrote me a letter about how disconcerting all this information was, the whole pious, horrified, I don't really want to talk about it directly kind of thing. Then my sister got loaded when my mom was staying with her and really went for it with my mom. And my mom had a major breakthrough. So she got a little buzz on and got loosened up and just laid it all on the table.
So I guess it was the mother's father?
I'm guessing so.
Oh, dear God.
These dynamics that exist.
Oh, man.
I mean, thank God. You know, I never lived in a world where I have dealt with that. I was watching a piece yesterday about survivors of a sexual assault at that. I mean, and virtually the vast majority got set off in horrible situations, their lives fell apart after that, all from that one moment. It's not just that moment in time. You're sentencing someone to unrelenting misery.
It ruins their life. It destroys their life.
Horrible.
And these people that do this, one, they don't care, and two, they don't know that you've completely destroyed their life.
But fortunately for them, I guess if you're able to open up with your mom or somebody like that, and they're able to hear it and accept it, then maybe that helps in the healing. It's got to help a lot.
And then a lot of times, if you talk to people who have been through this, that when they did try to go and tell a mom or whoever, like there are times where they don't believe them, or you know, and that's what they don't want to come forward at first because they're afraid of something like this. Like it was her father to tell her that your dad is doing this.
I forget what story it was, but it was a woman who went. The purpose was to go tell her mother what was happening. And then by telling her mother, she found that her mother knew all along.
Yeah.
And it was like, I mean, she was just world was shattered.
Wow. So she said, when I finished the book, I read it to my mother over a three-day period, and I had the flu at the same time. I was in bed, and she got in bed with me as I finished the book. And when I recorded, then I recorded an hour and a half of her talking, and then I rewrote a lot of the book, and that's when I dedicated the book to her. Stone believes her life and the abuse she suffered is universal. She said, I believe that the point of my book is that it narrates a rather regular life. I don't think that my life is exceptional, except that I ended up being a movie star. This book could be written by a lot of other people that grew up in a small town. She says she actually wrote the book after having a stroke in 2001. She said, I had the whole white light experience on the operating table. And when you literally slab out on a table, you have to ask yourself a few questions. And I wanted to review my life and ask myself, why did you push yourself without listening to yourself? What part of your listening device got so fractured or broken that you didn't see where you were headed? And the book is the big questions. I'm not the person who's like, excuse me, pass me the envelope. Let's tear off, open a corner. I'm the person who likes to blow up the envelope, push the plunger, stand in the debris of it and see. Moving forward, she's ready for darkness. She said there, if there's purpose, she said, I'm going to play something dark now. I need a reason other than just it's funny. I find the
a role, or is that what you're talking
about? I think so. Right. Yeah, she said. I find the monkey on the shoulder thing.
Monkeys,
which it says here an eccentricity favored by her character Leonore Osgood on the series Ratched. She finds that super funny.
Oh, she's on that show?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
She said, I told Ryan Murphy we could, when the performance is over, remove the monkey digitally, and the performance would still be so interesting. So I know.
Does
nothing.
She has a monkey?
I know nothing of this monkey.
Yeah, the monkey.
The book comes out on the 30th, by the way, so that's on the way. Captain America has tattoos, and Twitter is breathing into a paper bag over this. Chris Evans shared a rare glimpse of his chest tattoos during a new interview.
Once you've seen his D, it really doesn't matter, right?
The images of which were shared on social. Have we seen his?
We have. Remember he posted a picture accidentally?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. A couple of the postings read, Chris Evans, is this even allowed? And as she said, guys, I did not even blink for real. I just kept staring at his chest for 30 minutes straight. Another shared that heaven looks like Evans in a floral shirt with tattoos peeking and the chain.
You know what the tattoo is? It's a tattoo of Ugly Kid Joe.
No, that's Jackson. He has that tattoo.
Oh.
Or used to, anyway. And then a third user tweeted, I just found out Chris Evans has chest tattoos. Y'all probably won't be hearing from me for a while.
Have you seen the thing on TikTok? It's of these women with Henry Cavill. You know, pictures, and you know, they're like, I guess we're unfamiliar, and you know, this guy, like with Chris Evans, it's just perfect.
Yeah, he's stunning.
And then you could see them like, where did you come from? I mean, like, just blown away.
Yep.
So we don't know what the tattoos are, though.
No, looks, some of it looks like text, and so it's maybe some kind of a
Zoe 101 is quote. One of them.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I can understand. This is terrible. This is just horrible news. Former child actor Houston Tumlin, who played the son of Will Ferrell's character in Talladega Nights, the Ballad of Ricky Bobby, has died by suicide, authorities said on Wednesday.
Geez.
Yeah, he was 28 years old,
Do you know why this is bizarre, Preston, when I saw this article pop up? Mm-hmm. They are currently running a commercial where it is supposedly the two kids, I mean, it's actors playing the two kids from Talladega Nights. They're driving along in Dodge Chargers with the dad, the dad from Talladega Nights, and you know, and the one kid turns to the camera and says, "Our lawyers told us to tell you this is not real because it looks like they're driving, but they're doing the shake and bake and all stuff."
Yeah. By the way, is he the one that used to play the clip of "I'm all jacked up
on Mountain Dew"? Yeah.
The 28-year-old died in his Pelham, Alabama home on Tuesday afternoon. Tumlin's girlfriend was at home.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
That was him. Tumlin's girlfriend was at home at the time and discovered his body.
Chip, I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
Did not appear. The former actor left a note behind. He had served in the armed forces and suffered from PTSD and depression, according to the report. So that's
terrible, very sad.
Terrible news. Speaking of people passing, I had mentioned this yesterday. Lemmy from Motorhead had apparently taken, he died 5 years ago, his ashes and put them in bullet casings. and had gifted them to friends. It was I guess it was in his will or his wishes or whatever.
Do we know the list of people who received them?
No, I just
know
that
the Pope got one.
Ricky Rackman had.
What is this?
And I had also mentioned in conjunction with that that Prince, the fifth anniversary of his death is coming up, and they're going to be opening up Paisley Park for free tours, and his ashes will also be the subject to some unusual treatment. And Paisley Park officials are putting Prince's ashes on display in the Minnesota compound.
If you were to, if you were to do something similar to what Lemmy did, and the bullet does make sense for his lifestyle, what would Prince's ashes end up? What vessel would be appropriate for Prince's career? Anything come to mind?
Probably like a vibrator or something.
Maybe. Honestly, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, you talk about someone who's very sexual.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Something purple.
Yeah.
For sure. And
Grimace?
Maybe. Maybe they put him in little Grimace dolls and put them up to people.
Probably forge it into, put it into like guitar picks or something like that.
Okay. Actually, that's a good idea.
Not bad.
Or a Molinar.
There will be no regular tours on that particular day, but fans fortunate enough to reserve a visit through the Paisley Park website will be allowed for a 30-minute visit.
It's called Prince's DNA!
Into the atrium.
The Jurassic,
Jurassic Prince.
There will be 70 time slots available, with each slot limited to just 20 visitors, by the way. I didn't know about this, but Brooke Shields is opening up about an accident that she thought might paralyze her. The 55-year-old sat down with People explaining that it happened at a New York City gym in late January. She fell off a balance board and landed with such force it broke her right femur. It's like the one you fell off of, Nick, one time.
Now, you, Preston, you reported on this story initially when it happened, and we just thought it was okay. She's going to be on crutches for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But the break was far worse.
She says, sounds came out of me that I've never heard before. She says she needed surgery to insert two metal rods, one from the top of my hip down. She had never heard that before. And another across into the hip socket. But then a broken portion of her right femur popped out. She underwent a second surgery to add five rods and a metal plate to anchor it all in place. She said, I never considered myself zen, but I realized with a certain calm that the rest is up to me now. Now, she also spent 2.5 weeks in the hospital and then developed a staph infection at home that required an emergency surgery. She said at first they feared that it was MRSA, which is a type of bacteria resistant to antibiotics. She said, thank God it wasn't. If it had been, my doctor said it would have been a race against time. And that's how you can become septic. And it seems unthinkable. Because of COVID, her husband and two kids couldn't visit her. And then the hard work started. She said, I can't even stand on my leg or go up a step. I need to relearn how to even walk.
Wow.
And the feeling of helplessness is shocking.
And Brooke Shields is like 5'10". She's tall. She's, you know, and this is, we're looking to do her physical therapy going up steps, pressed, and that
looks painful.
Think of the impact on your life, not being able to do that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. She said it reminded her of how strong she was. She said, my career has actually been like that as well. One door gets slammed in my face and I search for another. It's not unlike how I felt when I wrote about postpartum depression in 2005.
I think she's great. I mean, she's somebody you thought would have just been like, she's just an airhead. And, you know, after the pretty baby stuff when she was younger.
Yeah, she went to Princeton.
Yeah, sitcoms and stuff, and very funny and talented, a good actress.
Yeah. The Glee cast is coming together for 2021's GLAAD Media Awards to honor LGBTQ teens, along with the legacy of the late Naya Rivera's character.
Now, I know you're excited about this.
Santana Lopez.
You are a huge Glee fan.
I'm all
Every
Glee.
Day after there, you'd come and sing whatever big song they did, and it was wonderful to see you re-find your joy of life through Glee.
What did they call them? Was
Gleeks.
Gleeks, that was
right.
It, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The tribute will mark 10 years since her character came out on the series. God, 10 years. Wow. Rivera died in July at age 33. Demi Lovato, who played Santana's girlfriend, Danny, in the series, will introduce the cast. That show will stream on YouTube and Hulu, and that will be out on April 8th. Here's good news. Ashley Tisdale and husband Christopher French had welcomed their first baby, a daughter. And I love this name. Jupiter Irish French.
Jupiter Irish French.
I like the name Jupiter. I think it's a great name.
It sounds like a word jumble, but it's cool.
Yeah. So
Jupiter, I usually associate with a guy, though.
I know. I think it's a good idea for a girl. She shared the news on social media, rejoicing that she had arrived, quote, Earthside. So,
good Jupiter.
Good Jupiter to you. Amid the nationwide concern about growing anti-Asian violence, Jay Leno is apologizing for jokes that he's done during his career that targeted Asians. The apology from the comedian and former Tonight Show host comes after a nearly 15-year campaign about Leno's Asian jokes by the Media Action Network for Asian Americans, also known as MANA. Most of the jokes were about stereotypes of Asian people eating dog meat. Leno said in a joint press release out yesterday with MANA leader Guy Aoki, he said, at the time I did these jokes, I genuinely thought them to be harmless. Whenever we received a complaint, there would be two sides to the discussion. Either we need to deal with this or screw them if they can't take a joke. Too many times I sided with the latter, even when in my heart I knew it was wrong. He said, I am issuing this apology. I do not consider this particular case to be another example of cancel culture, but a legitimate wrong that was done on my part. MANA has been very gracious, he said, in accepting my apology. And I hope that the Asian American community will be able to accept it as well. And I hope that I can live up to their expectations in the future.
Well, that seems fine. Yeah. Both sides agree. And yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. We accept the apology. Move on.
Hey, Chrissy Teigen said yesterday she's quitting Twitter.
No!
A series of tweets before deactivating her account.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah. So she's wrapped it up in which she said, it's time for me to say goodbye. This no longer serves me as positively as it serves me negatively, and I think that's the right time to call something. She said, I've always been portrayed as the strong clapback girl, but I'm just not.
Goodbye!
And that she's a different human than I started out here as.
I wonder, so is this because of the blowback she was getting from the Kris Jenner partnership? Because remember,
I think it's cumulative.
Chris Jenner, it's
one thing after another. And listen, Twitter can be great. It can be the worst thing in the world. And I think she just got tired of it being the worst thing in the world.
And the problem is also, Nick, she puts herself out there. Yeah, she pushes herself out a lot, and she invites a lot of it. So that's also, you know.
I mean, inviting a lot of it is, you know, that's...
That's not fair.
That's not fair. Like, that's people being dicks aggressively. And so, she's not inviting people to be a-holes.
No, but she puts everything about her life out there.
That does not mean she's inviting it. You know, that's a very fine line.
Yeah, well, she's also been very acrimonious on Twitter herself. She's attacked people on Twitter. So people are dicks. And if you know that the best way to not have to deal with that is to not be on it. But it's not like she's not ever done the same herself. But
I was surprised to hear, though, that she deactivated her account.
Yeah, because it was a big part of who she is. Yeah. And, of course, it's a great promotional tool.
It's a shame.
She'll be back.
For anything that she's doing, whether it be, you know, cookbooks or television shows or whatever it may be.
Look at how many times Alec Baldwin's gone off and come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now how am I going to invite her to eat dinner at my house? I guess I'll have to figure out a different way.
You got to do a different way.
Yeah.
I'd say swing by the house sometime and say hello. Maybe that'll work.
Ding dong.
I've set aside Twitter. It's now over where Facebook is for me, which is just like, it's over there. And if I see an alert that says you should check this out, or if there's a news story that somebody sends, I'll go over there. But I'm kind of done with it.
I haven't been on Facebook in years. Mm-hmm. Same thing. If I get a notification. But,
I feel better for it.
It's hard to remember, but life existed prior to social media. It really did. Still found out things.
I know. Research has shown that social media use can increase things like anxiety and depression. So maybe it was just she's had enough. So we'll see if that sticks or not. Peter Farrelly is following up the Oscar-winning Green Book. And this was something I mentioned in The Historian.
Oh, yes.
Just a couple of weeks ago, the greatest beer run ever.
Oh, wow.
Zac Efron, Russell Crowe, and Bill Murray are in talks to star in this. Beer Run will follow a misguided beer delivery to pals fighting in Vietnam circa 1967. I just told the story to our listening audience recently.
Need I remind you that comes on the heels of the news that Cocaine Bear is coming to the theaters.
True. And that was another story that we shared with you as well. Production is set to commence in August in New Zealand or Australia. I have other great historian stories that I think also would make great movies.
Do you think Hollywood is listening to you?
I think I have become the pulse.
I think you are.
Yes.
When people say, where are the new movies coming from?
Yeah.
The historian.
It's right here.
Like I saw the MGM announcement that they're moving ahead with a $600 million production of The Connoisseur.
Right?
Yeah.
There, wow. There's got to be a connection,
that's
right?
Amazing. Know it's there.
They steal this music.
Yeah.
I'll be pretty upset. All right. One last story. The Queen of England has become a great-grandmother for the 10th time as her eldest granddaughter, Zara Tyndall, gave birth to a baby boy on Sunday. But there's a little bit behind this particular story. Zara, it's either Zara or Zara, the 39-year-old daughter of Princess Anne and her husband, Mike Tyndall, welcomed Lucas Philip Tyndall, who weighed 8 pounds, 4 ounces after a home birth that took place on their bathroom floor. And it wasn't intended to be a home birth.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. A spokesperson for the couple confirmed the birth in the statement saying Zara and Mike Tyndall are happy to announce the birth of their third child, Lucas Philip Tyndall. Mike, a former rugby player, by the way, revealed the news during his podcast, and I love the name of this podcast, The Good, the Bad, and the Rugby, in the latest episode. He said, arrived very quickly, didn't make it to the hospital on the bathroom floor. Mike went on to describe the frantic process they undertook to prepare for the unexpected home birth. He said, so yeah, it was, I was running to the gym, get a mat, get into the bathroom, get the mat on the floor, towels down, brace, brace, brace. Mike also said that the midwives who were due to meet them at the hospital were able to redirect to the home in time to assist with the birthing process.
Jesus.
So they were able to make it. Lucas, who will be the 22nd in line to the throne, is the couple's third child alongside two daughters, Lena and Mia.
If you're going
to
be in the royal family, isn't like this the nice wing to be in? Like,
totally.
You don't get the attention. You're 22nd in line. There's no pressure.
Dude, I said that the other day. Do not be in the you're even out of the press's line of sight. Mm-hmm. And you get reports like this, fluff things, you know, they had a birthday. And that's it.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to deal with all the crap. And you still, you know, you can still get to walk around Buckingham Palace.
You get to go to the parties.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, yeah.
All that stuff. All the freebies. It's a good place to be. But they ended up having the baby on the bathroom floor. All right, we're ready for some clips. A man's wedding plans go awry in SAS Red Notice when hijackers commandeer a train beneath the English Channel. In this clip, Sam Huygen? I guess that's how you say his name. Or Huygen. Hints at how the film eludes the current military climate. Here we go.
You know, this is all based on Andy McNab's experience and the real, you know, how the military operate and also how the government operate. And this is the reality. But yeah, it is based, you know, in the actual sort of current climate. So kind of scary, but hopefully it just remains fiction.
I don't give a f***.
SAS Red Notice is now streaming on Amazon Prime Video.
Has there been any big budget movie or movie that about
British attacks?
Oh, like on the channel?
Oh, not that I know of.
Okay,
but that's,
we need to write that after you finish your script of The Connoisseur.
You mean other than, well, I mean Mission Impossible has the helicopter scene. But that, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. One would like when Stallone in, what was
like
that?
Like British Stallone.
Daybreak or whatever the hell.
What the
Daylight?
Hell is the name of that movie? Daylight, I think, is what it was. Yeah. Where they were trapped under the, was it the Holland Tunnel or?
Attention, chaps. The channel is closed.
Hey, chaps.
Spotted dick.
I just throw it out all British terms they can think of. Boot to bonnet.
Glory, boot to bonnet.
Garage.
Garage.
Put that in my schedule.
All right, next clip. Here we go. In Cosmic Sin, 7 rogue soldiers strike against a new alien civilization in hopes of preventing a war.
Okay.
You still thinking about that?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I hit myself in my twigs and berries. Chap.
In this clip.
Ox hunt.
very good. Fish and chips.
Pippa Middleton.
Mushy peas.
Pippa Middleton. In this clip, director Edward Drake talks about how cool Bruce Willis was on the set. Here we go.
When we first put the Cosmic Sin suit on him,
he was like a kid again, and he was shadow boxing and chasing everyone around and being like thumping his chest. It was fantastic. It was a good moment for everyone because we were like, yeah, he's like, yeah, this is cool.
I don't give a f-.
So Frank Grillo's in this movie, yes?
Oh, I don't know.
What's it called?
Cosmic Sin?
Yeah, I think he is.
Take a look. It is now streaming on Vudu and Amazon Prime.
And Brandon Lee, is that the son of Bruce?
No, he's dead. Brandon died.
Yeah, he died in The Crow.
Brandon Thomas Lee is someone else, but I don't know. That's definitely not him.
And Brandon Getty Lee.
We're in space!
Yeah. All right. Cosmic Sin now streaming. And that is what I have in our entertainment report this morning. All right, we're going to take a break. We got a lot to get to today. Brad freaking Williams.
Yeah.
One of our favorite guests is going to be at Helium Comedy Club next week. So we're going to talk to Brad a little bit later on today. We'll be back in a moment. It is foggy out. Keep that in mind as you hit the road. Visibility down in some areas. Very foggy in Bala Cynwyd where we are. So be careful. We'll be back in just a moment.
WMMR.com, the website for everything that rocks. Music news, events, photo galleries, contests, MMR gear in the rock shop, and more. All at WMMR.com.
Is that your chair squeaking?
Yeah.
That was weird.
I thought that was a dog whistle.
Loud squeaky sound, but you're going to. Casey's going to lube it up. He's got some WD-40. That is squeaky.
Well, remember,
man.
Who said the other day, like, people are using, or you shouldn't use WD-40 on things you think you should.
No, you said you could drink it.
No, there are some things you're not supposed to, and you need to check ahead of time before you lube them with WD-40. By the way, the WD, and somebody had texted in that day, stands for water displacement. And it was formula number 40, so that's why they gave it WD-40, the name.
I use spray-on silicone.
That's better.
That's what I use to stop squeaks.
But it depends on certain situations what type you want to use. Because I've got some exercise equipment, and before I looked into it's an elliptical.
Yeah.
Before I looked into greasing it. I had thought about using WD-40, and it flat out said, do not use this on here. You need to use actual, grease.
Right. So I have a Universal, and they recommend that you you use the silicone, and it keeps everything, slight, because I can't stand the squeaky.
So before you lube, do your research.
Do your goob.
So before you lube, do your goob.
That's what they, my dad used to say that all the time.
Yeah. Did you listen to him?
Yeah, well.
Before you lube, do your goob. It's great, Grandpa. He's going to be in a home soon, right?
When we were, when Kathy was doing the sports, she thought we had a clip. We didn't then. We have it now. And I wanted to hear it because I haven't heard it yet. I'm familiar with the story, but this NHL ref, Tim Peel, was fired. He was mic'd for the game. He forgot about it.
Uh-huh.
And not only does he drop an F-bomb, but he also admitted fraudulently calling a penalty, or at least his intention was to call a penalty, for the smallest infraction.
He raised suspicion, and I think that really is the infraction that got him fired.
But this is the clip of him saying it. Who is he speaking to? Another ref, I guess, Nick?
I think he was over, when refs call a penalty, they'll go over to, the official scoring area. Yep. I think he was saying it to that area, and another ref was right next to him.
All right, here we go.
It wasn't much, but I wanted to get a f-ing penalty against Nashville early in the...
Mistake.
Whoops.
Yeah.
It wasn't much.
It wasn't.
But wanted to get a penalty.
But he was saying it out loud to not just one person, like a group of people. So
he was saying it to the other ref and to the scorer's table. But the fact that he had the hot mic and the fact that he called something that he probably shouldn't have called and just admitted it live on TV, I think that's kind of what added up. Yeah. I don't know if it's a fireable offense personally, but I mean,
right.
I think the NHL had to take some action. I don't know. It seems pretty great.
I think a suspension, but I think the thing that would be Preston, you agree with this, the more volatile thing would be the admission that there was he had an aggressive call, knowingly made an aggressive call on a penalty that probably wasn't worth it.
But I guess as a ref, you have a certain discretion. You can
all the time.
Yeah. You can let things slide. It happens in baseball all the time, as far as pitches go.
And when you hear announcers like JJ and Jonesy, when they're talking about Flyers games, Jonesy played for a long time and he talks about specific players like Giroux and Van Riemsdyk being nice guys.
and arguing their points with referees, but doing it in a way that's not dickish,
right,
that'll get them calls later on. So right. it's a subjective thing.
Right. And as long as you call a game both ways,
exactly,
you can be okay. If you're going to let some stuff slide, you got to let it slide for everybody.
Is the fact that he highlighted the team that he wanted, he said, I wanted to call.
Yeah. And you're talking about a billion-dollar industry, right, that, you know, wins and losses matter.
Right.
And so, yeah, when you're caught on tape on camera saying that.
I feel bad for the guy, though.
Oh, me too.
I do, too.
He was going to retire.
Yeah.
And listen, it's probably not okay, but I'm sure it happens, and I'm sure every ref does it. And it's just like, just because he had that damn mic on, he's out of a job and can't have a proper retirement.
Would a suspension have gotten it done, you think?
Right?
Yeah. I don't know. But, yeah, man, careers have ended for very similar infractions.
Yeah, Casey, who was the NBA ref that was from the area?
Tim Donaghy.
Yeah, and he just he got caught betting on games, right? Or was linked to betting scandals?
I think he was caught, like, what do they call that? Like point shaving?
Right. And so, like, if you're open about these things and making calls deliberately.
No. Point shaving is for the player. But either way,
it can get linked to gambling, and that's a fireable offense. So, it's a real fine line.
So he was retiring at the NC. A lot of people are texting in and say he wasn't fired. They're just not going to let him play any more games and his career will end that way. So I don't know the particulars about it. But, yeah, and so that F-bomb went over television?
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah.
That too.
That too.
Whatever.
Yeah. Do you know what amazes me is that with all the tech too, listen, we have our systems in place here. We have dumb buttons.
Yeah.
The FCC years ago made it the rule, which I think is kind of a ridiculous rule, that if you're miking like a game like the Super Bowl per se, and someone happens to be close enough to one of their field mics to drop an F-bomb,
that I hear it all the time.
The network would be responsible for it. So I guess. And I do too, Kay. So
I hear
ultimately,
it all the time. I hear it, especially basketball.
They could enforce that, though, and they don't. But it is a rule on the books.
Nick, what channel was it on?
NBC?
The NBC local affiliate for that game.
So, okay, so it was not like an NBC sports.
National.
Okay, so it wasn't, but what I'm saying is it wasn't like, was it like an NBC sports channel? Or is it NBC proper?
No.
Okay, so it was a cable channel.
And they were going to commercial.
Yeah.
And they weren't, like, the camera wasn't on the referee as it was happening. Yeah. You know, they just had the live feed of it going, and somebody left that potted up, you know, and cut to commercial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't even, like, prime time on, like, a network thing.
No.
You know? I know. But look it makes national. That's the thing. Years ago, you'd have to wait till, like, a Dick Clark special before you'd hear these bleeped out things. And now someone out in the middle of bum F somewhere, a news reporter, let's slip, and the entire country knows about it.
Exactly. So until they change the rules.
Yeah.
You know, you got to, and I'm with you, Case. I know you're like, come on, man. I hear it all the time. I know, but you know, the rules are the rules and what they are. Until those change, they got to.
Peoples is peoples.
Then peoples is peoples, if we have learned anything. real quick, Casey said something. I was going to talk about something that Nick does, but Casey mentioned something to me off air real quick.
Is it about cheesesteaks?
That I'm intrigued. No, it has nothing to do with cheesesteaks, which, by the way, is a Daily Rush video. If you want to see the great Preston and Steve cheesesteak fight, it is now available, and it's sponsored by Punchline Philly. Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. Check that out.
May I just say thanks, and I know, Casey, you agree with this, thanks to everyone who eventually supported us and put us over the top is the prevailing opinion.
It was crazy. It looked like 80% of the people were wrong.
It's not over yet. No. We haven't hit the 24 hours yet. We'll check that.
We were crushed. We were decimated.
In a little while. But
it doesn't matter, though. It doesn't change my mind, but yes, Press.
But Casey said something. Guess I have the floor now. Casey said something right before we went on air, and he said he noticed something that I do, and apparently I do it a lot, and he wants to, and he wouldn't tell me what it is, so now
you're intrigued.
Color me intrigued.
Yeah. We have things ready to talk about, but this, I would understand why you would want to find out about this immediately.
Well, so I want to know why he does it, because you do it often, and listen, this is not like...
And you never clean it up.
Well, I mean, it has something to do with that.
Does it?
So you do this often, and this is not a judgment, but I'm wondering if A... if it's an accident, B, if it isn't and you do it on purpose, well, Why? Why do you do this?
I'm a little scared.
Don't be scared. Okay. Don't be scared. Really? It's really, really silly.
Okay.
Marissa, do you happen to have the picture?
I'm scared.
You took a picture of me doing something?
No, I took a picture of the aftermath.
Aftermath?
Yeah.
What the hell am I doing?
I'm scared.
You do it every day in the studio, and then I went into the office.
Does anybody else know what he's talking about?
I have no idea.
No, you
don't. I have no idea.
Okay. He might, but you do it every day in the studio, but I was just in the office. And I saw that you did it in the office, too. And
I saw you lingering around my desk.
I know.
By the way.
Wait a second. Did he catch me?
Is it harking loogies into the garbage?
No. I mean, that's pretty standard
yeah,
stuff,
okay.
Right?
Well, I mean, that's the only thing I could think that he does both here and in the studio. Okay. Okay. Well, he's not gonna swallow them.
Are we waiting on Marissa?
No. I'll tell you what
She's looking for a picture on her phone.
Yeah, I thought I texted her a picture.
All right.
So, for some reason, when you're done with a piece of paper, copy. Yeah, okay. Sometimes you throw the copy into the trash can fully. And then other times, for some reason, you place your copy, piece of paper.
I'll set it on the edge of the trash can so it'll rest there.
Yeah, why do you do that? If you're done with it.
I'm not 100% done with it. I might come back to it.
Okay.
And I have a lot of clutter, and you guys see. You see all this paper laying around here?
Yeah.
If I leave it there, I might misplace it, and I kind of still, this is almost ready to go, but we might not 100% be done talking about it yet.
It might come back.
So
okay.
I will then, when we are done, then I'll just reach out and tap it into the trash can.
I have seen that. I have seen it.
Look at the picture chronicled up here. So there's like an Ansel Adams quality photograph of the paper rest. Now, what I would say is I kind of understand that, but couldn't you remedy it? We used to have some sort of like dental surgical table that was on wheels that would be...
I have that here.
Casey has commandeered it. It's his table.
We now have an entire rolling cart that this boombox we don't use anymore is resting on. Would that be good behind you guys?
Well, now I feel bad because whenever he leaves something on our shared trash can, I just dump it into the trash can and you don't even notice it.
Wow. So okay. you feel...
I mean, well...
So is it... Okay, let me posit this. Right. It's done for now. It's probably done for the day, but it might not be done for the day.
Correct. I've had to go and dig into the trash can
many times.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, hold on, I have it.
It's a pain in the ass.
Yes. So this prevents that in theory.
Yeah, it's a purgatory before heading to hell.
How about this? We run a clothesline from the back of the wall behind you over here.
Oh, I like that.
We just clip it up, right? like laundry, right?
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
So I think it's okay because you're not the one complaining about it getting thrown in the trash can. Like, had you brought this up and said, I put it there for a reason, you're throwing it out.
Yeah.
But Casey's, it's just something that Casey noticed and you're not even really knowing if somebody's throwing it out
and
or
Kathy,
not.
It doesn't even seem that inflammatory. It's more quizzical.
And I might forget about it.
Yeah,
and
that's why
you end up having to do the dirty work.
That piece of paper that's sitting on the trash can right now, what is it, Preston?
I don't know. I can't see it from here.
But you put it there. You don't remember what was...
I don't know. Marissa? Okay.
I employed the same tactic in the kitchen. So, like, last night I made a little cheese snack. So I sliced some cheese.
And you put it on the edge of the garbage?
What kind of cheese did you have? I can't remember.
We'll try later.
Okay. And I left the knife on the side of the sink thinking, I might get some more cheese later.
Right. Okay.
I could also slightly commit to being done. So it's in the vicinity of being cleaned, but like I don't want to have to take another knife out.
So here's what I do. When I have a mug of tea at home, I take the mug of tea and I don't put it, when it's done, I'm done drinking it, I don't put it by the sink.
Yeah.
I put it next to where my keys and my credit cards and everything are because I will reuse that mug. It's easily reused.
And, yes, and you're not going to get another one dirty. And
it's
tea
is going to go back into it in just a little while. My wife is not a big fan of that.
Well, because I was going to ask you, how far from the sink is that?
It's about 10 feet.
Yeah.
So I think, try this and see if your wife is okay with this, Steve. Put it closer to the sink. Put it next to
She'll put it in the sink then and clean it.
Oh, she will?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. See, because that's what I was going to say, more like what Marissa was saying with the knife. That's sort of what I do. I'll put my cup next to the sink. So it's on its way to being clean, but I might use it later. And then if I don't, I could just easily.
But mine isn't a violation, right? I mean, because the tea is going to go in it. It's already been used for that. And I just don't see the need to keep.
If we were married, I would prefer you put it next to the sink. Now, I'd know not to put it in the sink and clean it,
but I feel like if being closer to the sink is a little bit
okay.
better.
All right, so I don't.
I can't risk that at home.
I don't put it anywhere near the sink, just on the off chance that somebody will walk past the sink and go, oh, here, this belongs in the sink. So what I do, because sometimes when I'm making a peanut butter and honey sandwich, I'm not sure if I want one sandwich or two. And I don't know this until I'm done the first sandwich. So what I'll do is I will leave all the stuff together, the peanut butter, the honey, the butter knife, and the bread, and I'll leave them all. And my wife's like, why do you leave this here? I'm like, because it's so hard to take all that stuff out of the pantry again.
Well, it's a pain in the ass. It's another extra few steps. Yeah. It's not super hard, but yes. And we're getting a number of texts coming in concerning weird things like this. And somebody texted and said, dear God, in God's name, what are you guys talking about? And also somebody pointed out, does this make Casey the noticer? Yes, it does.
We all noticed.
No, so I think he's the inquisitor. Here's something I noticed the other day. Or actually, I didn't. My oldest son, Parker, did about my younger son, Carter. Carter likes to cook, okay? But he leaves the kitchen a goddamn mess.
Oh, really?
It drives me crazy. And Parker pointed out the other day. So Carter's been making curry. He makes all kinds of curry. It's his thing. And Parker points out that he made this dish, and the sink was empty before. And in the process of making this curry, Carter used 7 spoons.
Wait, what?
7 spoons. And what on God's earth do you need to go keep going back into the spoon
Same
drawer?
Spoon.
Yeah, and pulling these out.
So
drives
let me
nuts.
Jump into something that pertains to this as well. So I'm going to have 3 or 4 cups of tea by the time I get home till the time I'm asleep. That one spoon that I stir my stuff will be used for that tea purpose, and I put it on a little tea. Like a little
a disc, like a
what
salsa?
A badass I am. It's actually designed to hold a spoon.
Yes, I know what you're talking
right.
about.
Yeah, so that's cool, right? If it sits
totally.
There for
yeah.
For
that's
a
what it's for.
Hours,
that does
right?
not go in the dishwasher.
Right,
that's your spoon.
That's
for
my
the
spoon,
day.
And I see no reason to burn through 9 spoons.
Oh wait, does it sit there all day? Oh,
it sits there for a couple of hours, okay. but
all
it's
right.
in
okay, its... No, a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Several... I mean, at some point it expires and it goes into the dishwasher.
Several people have texted in about using this with laundry.
Okay,
it says, my husband does this with our laundry basket. He hangs clothes over the side of the basket.
Oh, no.
I need
no.
to know
no.
it isn't
Divorce
dirty.
Him.
But if it's in the basket, can I wash it? And then somebody else says, every bedroom has the chair, except for Kathy, of course.
No, mine doesn't
no
need
chair.
It.
No
chair.
No chair.
No chair.
Shirts?
No chair.
Not dirty, but not clean enough to fold and put away. Welcome to the chair, they say.
Okay, hang
you
on
have
a second.
A closet and a dresser for a reason, for your clothes to
right.
go in it.
Let me.
Okay.
Let me.
Chair is to sit.
Let me run this past you, Kathy. I have the hamper. And then I have two drawers next to it.
Okay.
One drawer is the not dirty enough to wash. Mostly stuff that I've worn, like if I just worn briefly for
I,
like
I understand.
And then I can wear it. It does not need to be cleaned, uh-huh. and so it'll stay in there until it's progressed to the point of dirtiness to then move into the hamper. Is that okay?
Wait, but what's the drawer? Is it closed or there?
It's a closed drawer.
Yeah. Why would that not?
So
be
I've
okay?
already. I may have worn it for like a half hour.
Oh, you're asking about the wearing
right.
situation. So I would. I would normally be okay with that. However, coronavirus, if I wear it for like 10 seconds, it's going to wash.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no,
really?
Not me.
Yeah, all clothes now.
Wow. I have an armoire that my TV sits in, and sometimes the clothes that I will only have worn for like an hour or two will go up in the door of the armoire.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
You can't even see it, though, because it kind of flaps open. So it's kind of hidden. My poor wife. You should see her closet versus my closet.
Is she messier? Than you?
You're not allowed to.
No,
see
that. No. She's way cleaner than me. But her closet.
He's nodding yes to
us. Because the kids mess her closet up so much.
I see.
Oh, is that what it is?
Silly kids.
Yeah,
silly
kids.
Those
why do
three
they live
silly
in
kids.
Our bedroom?
Kids always in her room going through her underwear.
That's me.
Yeah. Hang on a second. I'm going to go to Heather here wants to chime in. Hi, Heather. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, Heather?
Well, I have two words for you. Organized chaos.
Yeah.
And also, Marissa, that is the universal sign for don't touch my freaking knife. I'm not done. Don't touch it.
So you say that knife on the corner of the sink is not to be effed with.
Exactly.
All right.
The international sign of I'm not done yet.
All right. We'll accept
I that.
I like that. Okay. Yeah. And you're trying to minimize your cleaning or yes. your or at least running the dishwasher.
All right.
Wasting water.
I got a text for Carter from Carter. He wants to come on and explain Seven Spoons.
Oh, yeah. Right. I want to hear it.
All right.
This is going to be like some sort of Japanese fable.
Right.
The Carter. Seven Spoons.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, hello.
Hi. All right. So you made your curry the other day. I gave you a hard time about it when you got home from school because you didn't clean up. But Parker had pointed out you would use seven spoons in the process of making your famous curry dish. Why?
So I used those seven spoons for actually like tasting the curry. I don't like to use the same spoon over and over again when I'm tasting a dish, just in case someone else wants to eat it.
I love this guy.
Just in case someone else wants to eat it?
He's not going to put the same spoon that he's already put in his mouth back in while he's mixing or doing curry.
Oh, come on.
Especially because of COVID time. Yeah.
Mm. Oh,
and also,
I think COVID's being used a lot for curry excuses. Yeah.
And by the way, who the hell are you sharing your food with? It's just us.
Who's?
But I still feel bad about it.
You know, COVID.
And by the way, you can take the spoon over to the sink and rinse it off, you know?
With soap and water.
It's more of a principle at this point.
Carter, may I help? Allow me to help you for a second. What's a similar thing that your dad does that you'd like to address at this point? the floor is yours right now.
So, when I cook and then I leave for school and come back.
Yeah.
The first thing in my head is either to talk to you about what I'm doing after school or like something along those lines, or it's to clean up after I'm done cooking.
Okay.
That's the first thing I do, but you always just like go off on me about it.
Oh.
So he's gonna clean. Give him a minute.
Come on.
No.
I'm just asking.
The look on your dad's face suggests he doesn't completely buy that.
Hey, as a fellow father, Preston, I call BS. Just clean up as you're doing it. That's my son.
I've tried to train him that there is, when you're cooking, you clean while you cook. You keep your station clean, is what they say. But, I'm going to give you a piece of advice to use against me, okay?
Okay.
If you leave a mess like that, it would behoove you to send a text or something like that saying, Dad, I know I left a mess. I'm going to clean it as soon as I get home.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
Acknowledging it will take the sting out of it a little bit. And listen, you guys know me. I'm not a taskmaster when it comes to cleaning up.
Well, I don't know at home. You could be an absolute demon.
Leaving your trash.
Lately, I have been because, my God, it's laundry and dishes. It is a never-ending mountain of garbage.
I'll tell you this. You do have a full house, and you have two other adult men living with you.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's, forget it.
So, but listen, Do you feel you can do a better job of straightening up along the way while you're cooking?
I mean, yes, I definitely can.
All right, Carter, let me ask you something. Do you believe that in the future you could relearn to love your father again?
Yeah, I can't believe I had to get this talk on air.
You win. Carter won, Preston another.
Whatever.
All right, bud. Have a good day.
All right. Bye, Dad.
All right. See you later.
So cute.
Communication is key.
It is.
You know what I'm having PTSD about right now?
What?
Bill Weston throwing away Chuck's bowl. And it's not even my bowl. Or my situation.
No, but it was his childhood bowl.
I know.
Like, I get so mad at that. It's I could say this, though, in defense of Bill Weston, is that if it is a very prized possession, clean it right then and there and bring it back to your office.
I know. Yeah, I know. What? But he it's not. Chuck doesn't leave it there for a day. It was there for like an hour.
Yeah.
If it's your childhood bowl and it means that much, you don't leave it.
I understand that. And I can't believe you side with Bill Weston at all.
I mean, I'm probably going to get blamed for some reason during this conversation, I still agree
I had a Looney Tunes cereal bowl that I'd bring into work and I would clean it immediately after I ate it and brought it back to my office.
Yeah. Casey, can you have the scary rising music because Bill. Walks into the kitchen. He's having a fine
kitchen,
day.
Everything's looking good.
And then all of a sudden his eyes just kind of glance towards the sink, and then there it is. No, not that. But anyway.
In the name of Jesus Christ is that? An unattended bowl?
No. Are we doing the Walking on Sunshine?
No. There's one that's... it's, you know the one.
You know.
Well,
Casey's trying.
You use it all the time.
This is what it sounded like when you were looking.
Yeah.
Not like haunting.
Oh, okay.
Sorry,
bro.
He doesn't know.
Never mind.
You know what? Like this.
Yes.
I feel like Fred. I feel like Herman Munster today.
You know. The Munsters theme.
I would love to live at 1313 Mockingbird Lane.
when we did the Bill West and Soup. No, mommy, no.
I
know what you're talking about. It's from Ghost Story.
I'd set it up, and I was waiting. I thought Casey would be on the same wavelength today, but
you usually are.
All right, so Bill's walking in. He's walking through the across the park. The
third leg of the stool, low hanging fruit. Third leg of the stool.
Hang on a second, Casey.
Don't like soup.
No,
I don't know.
It's Kathy's fault.
Waiting for the music from the movie Ghost Story, starring John Houseman.
I don't know.
You do know.
We don't have it. All right. Anyhow,
no remorse.
I'm gonna go.
I now know what you're talking about,
but you can't find it.
I feel like it's.
Come on, get your head in the game.
I know, right?
I feel like making love.
Wait. Were you just singing Bad Company? Yeah.
Making love to you.
Yes, Casey, it's under Psycho, I think.
That's what I think it is, yeah.
And now Psycho. A scene from a real Halloween shocker.
No.
What?
What is this? Oh, I want to know what that is.
What Preston is talking about is that we'll play it sometimes.
What?
No.
All right, forget it.
I can't believe this is happening.
I'm going to go to some calls.
Theremin sound?
No, it's not
theremin. I already did the theremin sound.
What was that speaking one that we just had, though?
That was Bill Weston's Halloween TED Talk.
All right, anyhow.
TED Talk.
Hang on a second here. I'm going to Brian. Hey, Brian, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, I'm trying to work here.
Sorry, man. What's up?
All right, I work at an industrial supply company, and this is a PSA because I know a whole bunch of people are listening. I'm the one that throws out everything in the sink because we have a sink that everyone uses. Do not leave your dishes in there. I don't want to come in there and see dirty dishes. Do them right away.
What does that do to you, Brian? What does that do to you, seeing a dirty dish?
It skeeves me.
It skeeves you.
To me, I sort of understand if you have a public sink and there are loads of filthy bowls and dishes in it, that's not right. If you have it in there for a little bit and your intent is to come back and clean it up, that's fine.
But it shouldn't look like
if you go there and there's already seven dishes in there or bowls, don't leave something else. I would say clean it up right when you're done and take it away.
Yes.
I actually put a note up that said, your mother does not work here. Clean your dishes.
Yeah, now that I'm cool with. Or tape it to the actual dish, you know. But you can't go throwing somebody's dishes away, man.
If it's in there more than 11 minutes.
11?
Wow.
That is harsh.
You just throw it away.
All right, guys.
All right, thanks, Brian. I don't agree with it. I don't think throwing it away is the answer. I thought Bill was way out of line when he did that.
How long had he waited before that?
I don't know.
Throw it away.
He said it was there like throughout the day, and finally he was like, "Forget it." But I guess before Chuck had left, because Chuck noticed that it was gone.
There are a lot of kitchen improprieties. For example, like the 16th piece of a donut that's in a full box is still sitting on the counter that no one will just because they don't want to be the one to throw it away.
By the way, did you see the email? Friday is clean out day for the kitchen.
For the refrigerator. Okay, yeah, there you go.
So the fair warning email went out.
Yeah.
You got anything in there, get it out. And there is stuff that's been in there for a long time.
It stinks right now.
There was something in there. Kevin Gunn came up to me and he's like, hey, Kath, there's something in the refrigerator with your name on it. It's been in there for weeks. And I was like, well, I don't even use that refrigerator. And I was like, there is? He's like, yeah, can we throw it out? I'm like, well, yeah, because I have no idea what it is. And I went and checked, and sure enough, it had my name on it. Casey, I think it was something that you left for me.
Oh,
it was
in the freezer?
It was in the fridge, and it had my name on it, and it was disgusting.
Was it an oxtail?
The strawberries that Casey brought in?
No, I think it was like fully molded over, so it was really gross.
Yeah.
Case, I think it was cheese. It may have been the make your own pizza.
I left that in the freezer. Somebody might have taken that out of the freezer and put it in the fridge.
Well, it was in the fridge and it was completely molded.
Joe Corby's.
That was some good stuff there, man.
It was good stuff.
But I didn't even know it was there, so it had been there
a long time.
So we cleaned it out.
So we're our fridge is getting cleaned out. So do you got anything in there? Keep that in mind.
I don't. But I never.
But with the I put stuff in there every day. But with the. With the sink thing, I got to go back to that. I still think that's... I'm glad you brought it up.
Thank you.
It's that what, if something is, if it's habitual, if it's happening regularly, if you see the same thing, because I think that maybe Chuck, that one particular day, this is a dish from his childhood, and listen, I keep stuff like that, that maybe he forgot. That's the one day he forgot. He went, he had a call or whatever, he left it in there, was going to go back, and he forgot about it because it wasn't something that he usually does. And then it gets thrown away.
Bill's mistake.
Not cool.
Bill's mistake was not sending out a memo.
Right.
And saying isn't, that at this point.
That's memo for a dirty dish. Don't leave your dirty dish at the point
of termination.
Did you not hear what I just said? It could have been an oversight. It could have been a mistake.
It
clearly belonged to somebody.
Okay, but
it was put in the sink by a human being.
It had milk in it. All he needed to do was swish a little water in it.
He did.
And call it a day and bring it back into your office. Or take it with you to your meeting.
No, you clean it better than that.
I know, but I'm saying if he was in a rush or something.
If looking in a sink and seeing one dish with a little bit of milk in it gives you PTSD, you need to go to therapy.
But not in a work setting at an office. Again, the maid doesn't work here. Your mom isn't here.
All right,
dish out of the sink.
I'll tell you what drives me crazy is when someone uses the machine, like the Dunkachino machine.
Yeah.
And then they will pour some out in the sink, and then they don't run the water.
Water and clean the sink.
Clean it down.
Why?
Why not? What compels you to?
I'm still looking for musical beds, Preston. Is this it?
No,
that's not it.
That could have been it, though.
Steve.
That's scary.
I don't feel so good.
Steve, I do have one comment about that sink, though. It's a flat sink. It's a flat sink, and the faucet doesn't move at all. So sometimes it is a little difficult to get the edge.
You can pull the sprayer out, though. You know, it has a sprayer.
What are you guys talking about?
Our sink in the kitchen
like
has a spray nozzle, a separate spray nozzle. You never noticed?
I don't think so. I don't use it. But
what is it you need to have cleaned out?
So Steve was saying, like, if somebody dumped something in the sink, sometimes it doesn't get cleaned out. So there's like coffee or whatever on the edges of the sink.
Oh my God, the sink's not spotless. Oh my God.
It's that jerk off that leaves it.
Do you know what it said on the paper that was on the side of the garbage can? Remember to keep sink filthy.
Oh God.
You don't rinse out the sink?
Kathy, believe it or not, I can't stand a sink that has like schmeg in it.
I hate
it. But my sink at home, it's not pitched enough, so things get like stuck in the corner. I know this sounds depressing that we're not talking about it,
but you're right. I can't stand a sink that doesn't pitch properly into the drain.
Marissa?
I'm going to call all you jerks out right now.
Okay.
How about when we have a meet and eat here in the station, and they drop off food, and they set up a nice spread, and then one by one, everybody leaves for the day, then it's like 2 o'clock, and I'm leaving, and look, there's still shrimp sitting in the green room, hanging out there. The one day that I had to leave early and there was a meet and eat, it was still there 24 hours later.
Yeah, she's right.
Remember, because Preston,
not
we...
one person.
Yeah, we saw
here's what happens.
We watched you walk in.
Yeah. Here's what I think the general consensus is also on that is that if there's enough there, other people are going to come and eat it.
And also
the mice need to eat.
And
well, the freaking mice now. There's like open chips everywhere. And if you want to talk about gross people, there is sauce all over that thing. If you eat a chicken wing and it drips sauce, clean up the freaking sauce that you
did. Yeah, no, I agree.
The table.
I agree. I didn't know that you cleaned that up. I didn't know that was your thing.
How is that on us? Like, we leave it noon. Business hours go until long after that. Yeah, so the food's out there and people, you know, pick at it all day. At least we assume that we do.
It's part of the setup now because the green room is right here. So it's sort of our space, even though it's everyone's space. It's our space where the food used to go into the kitchen, and then by the end of the day, it would get thrown out.
But there's no table to put it
there's
on.
There's nothing
now.
There's nothing
you have
to put it on
the sink.
But by the way, it is now known as the Acme Lounge.
Right.
We do have a sponsor for that, so thank you to Acme.
So, Preston, it's not this music, is it?
What?
That's it!
That's from Ghost Story, Casey.
What is that labeled as?
It's spooky music.
Spooky music.
But that's not
that's
what
my favorite spooky music.
I said scary.
Scary, spooky.
Spooky.
Six of one, a half dozen of the other.
All right, so hang on, Casey. Have it ready.
Okay.
Start it over.
Here we go.
Bill walks into the kitchen. Okay. He's going about his... No. Stop it.
We're
creating a narration here.
He's going about his day.
Theater of the mind.
He's having a good day. All of a sudden, out of the corner of his eye, he sees the sink.
Wait a second. What is that in the sink? Looks like some sort of receptacle. Something someone might use to eat cereal. Or in other countries, porridge.
In other countries, porridge.
It's filthy.
Yes.
It must be thrown away. Who could do this? Who could do this to the people who work here at Beasley? I'm going to make a statement. Make an example of this person. I don't care if it's a bowl they've had since childhood. It's going in the garbage.
And that's how it happens.
It's that easy. Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm glad I brought that up.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Anyhow, I didn't know we were going to dive deep into that.
It was fun.
This started with Casey noticing that I set pieces of paper on the edge of the trash can rather than throw them all the way into the trash can. But there is kind of a reason behind that.
I knew there had to have been a reason.
And apparently people do it with spoons, knives, and laundry, and all kinds of stuff.
I know we're wrapping up quickly, but I think Brian has something that I think also this might pertain.
Okay. Brian, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Brian?
I agree with you guys on the communal office kitchen has to be clean. It's ridiculous that that's even a question, but this is a little bit different. So my clean mug was in the section where mugs are in the office, except my mug had my kid's face on it, my two-year-old daughter. And one morning I come into work to make my coffee, and it's missing. It's just gone. And it was gone for 2 days. And I finally sent an email blast saying, you know, I don't know who's, you know, walking around with my mug with my kid's face on it. But if it's not your kid, put it back in the kitchen.
So there was an actual rack of where dishes would go after they were cleaned to dry. And somebody took it from there, correct?
Correct.
All right. Question. Does everybody have their own mug in there, Brian?
There are company mugs all over the place. Plenty with our brand, and then...
So yours was mingling with those.
Yeah, why don't you bring your mug back to your desk with you?
Yeah.
I think it was it drying? Was it drying, Brian? Right. Okay, so I can understand that. Next time,
you can
though...
dry at your desk.
To the general thing, yes, you can dry it at your desk.
So, Brian, do you have a desk?
I have a desk, but it's also... We have a dishwasher, so it actually had gone through the dishwasher.
All right.
You know, been placed with the other mugs. It's more the grabbing of a mug that has kid on it.
I think when you have person like you have Casey's picture on your mug.
Right.
Yeah. People know that's a personalized mug you should not use.
Well, I keep it in my workspace. I don't let it wander into the kitchen.
Right.
Every cubicle should have like little nails that you hang your mugs on. And thanks, then when you're done, you dry it at the end of the day and you put it on there.
By the way, I don't clean my coffee mugs.
I know.
No, you just rinse them out. That's all you have to do.
I don't even do that.
Yeah.
It's flavored. It's seasoning the mug.
It's like that bowl that the Salad King.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes, that bowl it takes on flavor. All right, anyway, yet another useless discussion we had this morning on the Preston and Steve Show.
But I love them.
We're going to have to take a break. We're going to come back. Thank you for your contributions, by the way, and all your texts coming in. We're going to come back in a moment and get to the Bizarre File and also a guest with a charity event. Very, very cool stuff. We also have Brad Williams on the show today. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club next Thursday, so we'll spend some time chatting with him this morning around 9 o'clock. We will be right back. Stay with us.
The free MMR app for your phone. You can stream us live, get on-demand audio and video, and we can even send you alerts on really important stuff. Plus, it's Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible. The MMR app, making your smartphone a little dumber.
All right, that's a lot going on,
and
we got some Bizarre File stories to fill your time, so here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, this morning is brought to you by Royal Farms Real Fresh, Real Fast. Start each morning with a hot, fresh cup of Royal Farms coffee, and it's made one cup at a time from the finest coffee beans in the world and freshly ground just seconds before serving. All right, we'll start with the story
of Xiao Shen Shi. That's her name, a 76-year-old woman. You probably saw the story, who fought back against her alleged assailant during a violent attack in San Francisco. So I'll get into the details of what happened, but she aims to donate nearly $1 million raised for her to the Asian American and Pacific Islander community. So it was a GoFundMe campaign that was set up for her. Her family did it, and it was to pay for her medical bills, and they announced their revised plans in a statement shared on the fundraiser's page on Monday.
And she clocked her attacker.
Oh, she beat the crap out of this guy, and she got popped really bad, too. They said hate crimes towards Asians is nothing new. It has happened since first Asian immigrants arrived in America. But during the pandemic, hate crimes towards the AAPI community have accelerated at an alarming rate. Our family plans to donate all funds generated in this GoFundMe to help the AAPI community recover and combat racism. The family also thanked those who had been donating and supporting them. She was attacked on Wednesday at an intersection. She previously told through a translator that she was just standing at a traffic light when a man came up to her and then punched her in the eye. She fought back. She picked up a wooden board that happened to be nearby and beat the hell out of this guy. Her alleged assailant was identified as a 39-year-old man named Stephen Jenkins.
Oh, from Third Eye Blind?
Lead singer of Third Eye Blind. No, it wasn't really him, but that's his name. Who was transported to a local hospital for a prior medical condition and later arrested. So they're donating money.
Third Eye Blind.
That had a nice...
the music was so pleasant.
A nice twist to it. A South Florida woman, this is an outrageous story, and I can't wait to find out the full details. A South Florida woman is recovering in the hospital after she was found naked and stuck in a storm drain. They actually had to go down in a manhole to pull her out.
For a long time,
right? The woman was reported missing nearly 3 weeks ago from a different county. Officer in charge, Ted White, said this is by far one of the most bizarre incidents that our officers have ever responded to. Images show police and firefighters surrounding a storm drain after someone heard what sounded like a woman's voice down below. A passerby heard something come from the storm drain. She heard a woman yelling. When first responders arrived, they discovered a woman trapped 8 feet below the roadway. A special operations team was able to remove the storm grate, lower down a ladder, and hoist the woman up.
Did you see the rig they had when they had her up on top? They had to, like... She was naked, so they had to cover her.
She was unable to stand. She didn't have any clothes on. She was very dirty. She had some superficial wounds. Her knees were all scraped up. Authorities aren't sure how the woman got into the storm drain or how long she was down there. And it appears she may have been in that storm drain for at least a couple of days, perhaps longer.
She said she was able to survive on unwrapped baby Ruth bars that kept floating by.
Oh, shut up. The woman was taken... The woman was taken to Delray Medical Center to be treated for her injuries and to check on her health. Police said that there are still...
Another one.
It's no big deal. Well, police said there are still many unanswered questions. They are just fortunate the woman found an area that no human should be found alive in. They believe she may have disappeared on March 3rd. And that's when she was reported missing. They're currently working on confirming that information with investigators. Wow. A Jacksonville mother, let's stay in Florida, is charged with child abuse after a fight with another student on the campus of DuPont Middle School last week. Edith Riddle was arrested on Thursday. A school safety officer heard a teacher's frantic announcement over the school radio that there was a fight occurring outside the cafeteria. When the officer arrived at the fight location, he found Riddle had been involved in a physical fight with the victim, a student. And this is an adult.
Yeah.
Riddle had just exited the school with her own daughter after a meeting with the vice principal on campus. Now, rather than exiting the campus directly, the daughter walked out of her way through the cafeteria to engage the victim in a fight. Riddle's daughter pushed the victim to the ground and threw some punches before the suspect, the mom, also joined in punching the victim, who was lying on the ground. Now, listen to this part of it. A witness said that Riddle appeared to have a boxing glove attached to her left hand. And the report says Riddle had the boxing glove on her hand when she arrived at the school and had told the school that it was super glued to her wrist and she couldn't take it off. The victim suffered abrasions to her knees and forearms. The girl's parent arrived at the school and told police that she wanted to pursue criminal charges. The parent took the victim to the hospital for a follow-up evaluation.
So this woman shows up with this glove super glued, she says.
That's what she said.
Right.
I'm sure it wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
And she was arrested and charged with one count of child abuse with personal and a special weapon, which would have been the boxing
glove. You seem like a responsible mother, super gluing boxing gloves to your wrist.
All right, we'll end this story. And this is a wild one. Italians reacted in shock online after it was revealed last week that an Italian tank had blown up a large chicken coop on a nearby farm after it misfired during a training exercise, reportedly killing at least 50 hens.
It's always the chickens.
The tragic incident occurred near Vivaro, a small town in the northeast of Italy, when a tank accidentally fired in the complete opposite direction of its target. Surprisingly, neither the owners of the farm nor the soldiers carrying out the exercise noticed what had happened until the following morning. Furthermore, photos of the damaged building show two holes, meaning the tank may have actually fired twice.
Oh, God.
While the slaughter of the chickens is in no doubt tragic, the fact that the tank misfired in the direction of the populated center of the town also means that the situation could have potentially been far worse.
I need to talk to your tank commander.
That's Gene Simmons, Chicken Division.
I'm investigating.
It also isn't the first time something like this has happened. In 2011, bullets
This is a deed most foul.
From a mounted machine gun struck multiple buildings, including a school, during a U.S. Army training exercise in southern Germany. The misfires also only furthered angered a region already famous for its skepticism toward the Italian government, with some local parties even pushing to secede from the country altogether.
Well, in a way, isn't this sort of a warning to any invading chicken armies?
I would think so. It's a deterrent in its action alone. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right. We have a guest who is on the line, and he's on to talk about a charity fundraising event that is taking place. And it's next month, but you might need time to train for this if you want to participate in it. So he is a heart transplant recipient, which makes it all the more an incredible story. It's benefiting the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and we'll get the details from him when we get him on. Please welcome Mr. Derek Fitzgerald. Hey, Derek, hey, good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Preston.
Excellent. Hey, listen, so this event is called the 156 over 24 Challenge?
Yes, absolutely.
Can you explain what that means and then what the whole event is, if you don't mind?
Certainly. It's a 24-hour cycling fundraiser for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, where we're honoring those we've lost to blood cancers, and we're celebrating our survivors. And basically, all the funds that are raised for this go directly to the LLS. But basically, the reason it's called 156 over 24 is because we lose 156 people in the United States every day to blood cancers. And basically, that equates to 57,000 people a year, and that's 57,000 too many.
So, Derek, the positive thing here is that the treatments and things that are happening in this world are getting markedly better. You know, obviously, there's still a lot of ground to cover, but there's every reason to support and to raise funds because things are going in a very good direction. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, Steve. I mean, research that LLS has funded has doubled or even quadrupled survival rate.
Yeah,
for blood people who are diagnosed with blood cancers. I'm one of them. I'm 17 years out from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Wow.
But unfortunately, it was the treatment, you know, the chemotherapy for my cancer that damaged my heart, put me through 7 years of heart failure, and then ultimately a heart transplant. Jeez.
Wow. So the chemotherapy to keep you from dying of cancer.
Yeah.
Nearly took out your heart.
Absolutely.
And that's how, you know, intense that is and can be and the treatment. So how old were you when you got the heart transplant, or how many years ago, I should say?
10 years. I'm 10 years out.
And how old are you?
I'm 48. I just turned 48.
You're 48, and you're going to do a 24-hour nonstop riding a stationary bike. Have you done this before, Derek?
Well, I've never ridden 24 hours in a row. I am an Ironman triathlete. Several times over. In fact, I'm the only cancer surviving heart transplant recipient to finish a full. But you know, this whole thing is a fundraiser for LLS, and basically it's part of their Man Woman of the Year campaign. So you know, we're just inviting. I mean, I'm riding the 24 hours, but we're asking people to form teams to cover
those 24 hours to join me in riding.
Right.
And so basically we're asking people to put teams together. It's May 22nd from 10 a.m. to May 23rd, 10 a.m. And if people don't have to ride 24 hours like me, because I'm an idiot, but if they want to ride an hour, they get, you know, 23 other people to ride an hour with them, and they just do all the logistics.
Right.
If they want to ride 2 hours, they put together a team of 12, whatever it works.
Derek, this is Nick. I've done a bunch of work with LLS over the years. They're an incredible organization. I'm really proud of what you're doing, too. And one of the things that I love about them is that they come up with different events like this. So was this their idea for you or your idea for them?
This was my idea for them. I don't think they would want to inflict this on anybody.
Okay.
Were you doing great things, but I'm also fascinated about your story personally. And so how physically active were you before you got sick? Was this something that you'd always did, pushing your body to a limit?
No. When I was basically a fat kid when I was diagnosed with cancer, and you know, I worked at a desk, I sat on my ass all day, and you know, picked up drive through on the way home, you know, the triple cheeseburger,
right?
You know, the tall, you know, frosty, whatever it was. I ate like crap. I didn't work out. I was way overweight. I got diagnosed with cancer, and I actually went up heavier from that point, and then and then ultimately I started going into heart failure after chemotherapy, and then went down to about 128 pounds.
Wow.
Which was skin and bone for my body. I'm like 5'10". So it was literally after the transplant. The heart transplant surgery is the equivalent of being hit by a Mack truck.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you're taking your engine out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mid-flight, right?
So
basically, I spent January of 2011, right after my heart transplant, trying to lift my head an inch off of a pillow.
Wow.
You know, I completely atrophied. If someone didn't help me to my feet, I couldn't walk. You know, I couldn't get out of bed.
So was it that condition that kind of made up your mind as you recover? You're not going to be, you know, sedimentary anymore?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, I always compared it to plugging
sedentary, not sedimentary.
What did you say?
Yes. I said sedentary.
Are you like a rock?
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Sedimentary.
I thought I heard you say sedentary. So no, it totally lost on me.
He's kind of igneous.
Yeah. All right. But now you have this great metamorphic.
Yeah.
Nice. No, so basically it's like plugging fresh batteries into a dead remote. So everything started working again. And I was like, all right, let's kick the tires. Let's see what we can do. And so every time I kind of talk to my donor who's beating in my chest, and I say, all right, you up for this? And, you know, every time we go a little bit further, a little bit further.
Wow, yeah. So you just didn't want to take your situation for granted. Derek, I met you.
If I didn't say anything, nobody would have noticed it for me.
I would not have noticed.
Go ahead.
Derek,
that was good case.
I met you for the first time through the Headstrong Foundation. It's crazy, like, with your situation, you're, like, simultaneously supporting LLS, Headstrong Foundation, organ donorship. And so I'm just fascinated and inspired by your story. And so I'm putting a team together, and we're going to ride that day. We're going to ride from May 22nd to May 23rd. I hope to put together a team of 12 where we each do two-hour shifts. I'd like to maybe pick up the first shift and the last shift as well. But if anybody wants to join with you, how do people register? And this is also a fundraising thing, so we're trying to raise money as well. So how do people, A, register, and B, fundraise for you and with you?
Well, absolutely thrilled that you're joining us, Case. But if you go to, I mean, it's an LLS fundraiser. You can go to LLS, but it's like alphabet soup with their URL. So if you go to recycledmanspeaks.com, so it's recycledmanspeaks.com.
Okay.
That's my page. And there's a pop-up when you get to that page, or there's the 156 over 24 challenge up in the menu. And if you follow those links, that'll get you to my LLS fundraising page. If you want to join, if you want to ride and register, you click on the button that says join my team.
Okay, and you can also get there through PrestonandSteve.com.
Oh, perfect, perfect. And if you don't want to ride, you're not interested in punishing yourself that way, you can just click donate, and, you know, certainly, you know,
that money's good as well.
Okay. Excellent. Well, listen, we'll put it on everybody's calendar to be aware of this, and they want to join in, they can certainly do that. And like Derek said, it's May 22nd, 10 a.m. to May 23rd at 10 a.m. And as Casey mentioned, it's all on our website. Derek, you're doing great things. Very, very cool stuff. We appreciate you checking in.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
No problem. Derek Fitzgerald. Yay! Wow. That's inspiring.
Yeah.
The cancer and then the heart transplant and then, you know, getting it together. That's very cool.
For me, it's heartbreaking to know that the family of the heart donor, they don't know that Derek has this heart. So they have no idea what their loved one is has been able to accomplish through organ donorship, which is just amazing and inspiring.
Yeah. All right, listen, friends, we have to take a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. We will have Brad Williams on around 9 o'clock and a few other things. So stay put. We'll be right back.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I might have another character to add to my resume.
Really?
Yes, quite possible.
What is it?
Well, I've come across a thicket of stories that all have to do with alcohol.
Oh, right.
So I thought I could either be the boozer or the wino. The
bartender.
Or the mixologist. I like mixologist.
Mixologist, yeah.
You want me to be the mixologist?
I like the mixologist.
Casey, do we have the Nathaniel Rateliff
S.O.B.? Son of a bitch!
Yeah.
Son of a bitch! Of course.
Give me a drink.
Yeah.
I think that might be the perfect news to lead in this. But sometimes we get several stories that cluster together.
Do we?
They kind of make a thing.
The mixologist?
You don't like it?
What about Drinkenstein?
The barfly.
Drinkenstein.
How about the barfly?
Yeah, that's good.
The barfly?
The barfly is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
These are all good. So this is the first I've seen this in a while, but it seems like people might be getting a little bit worn out of boozing and lockdown. Liquor sales soared last year when the pandemic began and people went into lockdown. But now those sales are finally dropping. They're finally coming out.
Really?
That. Yes.
Okay.
Son of a bitch!
Yeah. One more time.
Kate. That was actually an accident, but.
Son of a bitch!
Yeah. According to Nielsen data, liquor sales slumped nearly 2% 2 weeks ago. For comparison, at the same time last year, sales were on average 55% higher than usual. So we still haven't settled down to pre-COVID times yet, but it has. It has leveled off, and it's starting to taper just a tiny bit.
I will take. Listen, I think what you're going to start to see is that sort of shift over to as restaurants and things start to open up, you'll start to see an evening at normal drinking. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people were stockpile purchasing, and that's probably what it was. Yeah,
agreed.
But and also drinking more. I mean, I've had numerous conversations with a lot of different of my friends who said. I'm over it. Like, I'm over sitting home and drinking, so...
Really not me.
No, it's true. It's true. It's like, you know, in the beginning, you stockpiled your body. And it was like, okay, this is a reason to sit down and have a cocktail or have a glass of wine or something like that. But now everybody's sort of shifting and like saying, if I'm just sitting home by myself drinking, what the hell is the point? I'm gaining weight. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather.
It's empty calories. And also, I think people get worried if they're just sitting home imbibing all the time.
Yeah.
Steve, you've asked a few times about things that you think might stick around post-pandemic. And, and one that, especially in Pennsylvania, the ability to drink and carry. Going to a bar and buying something and walking around outside. I don't know if the legality on that. I don't know if it's going to shift back at any point, but it used to be.
Do you think the curbside stuff?
I think so, too.
Okay.
Because there's just the demand.
It'll stick around?
I think so, because there's a demand for it.
I think the Pennsylvania liquor laws are going to
clamp back up again?
They're going to clamp back up, and they're not going to let
Maybe you're right. Honestly, I have no idea. I hope they don't, though.
You know what, Nick?
It just seems fun.
They're competing with pot now, too.
That's true.
Do you remember at the beginning of the pandemic and everybody started panic buying? You know, toilet paper was obviously the thing that hit. As far as, but booze became.
Oh, sure.
I got it. Oh, my God. I got to stock up.
Stateside vodka got me through much of 2020.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, there was a, we did a segment about what's left in your house to drink.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The scrape in the bottom barrel of your liquor.
Gift you got cabinet. 5 Christmases ago.
I got some banana liqueur that I'll save for last.
That was one thing that never bottomed out, though. The supply was good. And then other places, some places were, as we said before, like the Stateside, another. Establishments were sort of retrofitting to make hand sanitizer.
That's right. Boardroom did it.
They did a great job.
Revivalist and, you know, all these great local distilleries.
So. And Clorox started making an after-dinner wine.
They said since then some bars and restaurants have started reopening and people just might be drinking more at those establishments, cutting down on the need to buy alcohol at home. But even though it's down a little bit, it's still way up from what it was pre-pandemic.
In this area, and after all that started to break out and that news started to come out, the amount of, I don't know if you call them, so it's a microbrewery if it's beer, the smaller spirits places, what are they referred to? Distilleries?
Just distilleries, yeah.
So I didn't realize there were so many of those in this area with like very lauded products, top level.
Yeah, Revivalists. They're
amazing.
The best gin in America, according to, I think it was USA Today. We have some really good ones right out of this region.
So Marissa says the open container laws are bad for the restaurants and bars because they want the people to stay there.
Yes, that's true.
And drink there, whereas taking it and leaving.
Yeah, but it's fun for us, you know?
Well, here's the deal.
I'm still going to stay. I just want one to go.
No, she's saying to convert it into actual food and everything. So I'm going in for the food.
Yeah.
If they would let me walk away with my hamburger, that'd be great.
You can do that.
Oh, that's right.
There's
I can do that. Yeah.
Take out.
All right.
I'm going to give you a chopped beef breath test.
This other story.
Son of a bitch!
From the barfly or the mixologist or whatever you want to call me. Does what you order when you're having drinks say something about you?
I think it does.
And there's a new survey from 2,000 people, Americans. One poll asked them about their usual drink order and found 55% said that they believe their drink choice says a lot about what kind of person they are. So here is how this was categorized. Fruity drinks were the most popular, named by 54%, although more women named them as their favorite, 44% to 31% for men. More of whom said neutral flavors were their favorite at 35%. Now, those who like fruity drinks were more likely to describe their personalities as fun. 54%.
I like fruity drinks and I'm fun.
And also carefree at 48%.
I'm carefree too.
Rather than serious at 33% or driven at 36%.
So you're talking like your harder core stuff like vodka the fruitier stuff
it can have it in there. So
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so like rum drinks, cocktails,
a vodka drink,
daiquiris, and even cosmopolitans. That's a vodka drink.
There you go.
But
apple teenies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Choco teeny,
Godiva chocolate. Things like that.
Right.
That's not fruity. That's more sweet and chocolatey. But nonetheless, you know what I'm talking about, daiquiris and margaritas and things that are heavy on the fruit. More than half, though, 58%, say they preferred light-colored drinks like vodka or white wine over dark ones like bourbon or stout beer. That's preferred by just 26%. That's the category I fall in.
Okay, yeah, that would be me, too.
You like the darker?
I prefer the lighter.
I like the darker stuff.
Did you all have to develop a taste for your drinks of choice?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You go through the stuff that you don't like, the stuff that makes you sick, and then you remember it for the rest of your life that it made you sick.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing you found that you instantly said, here we go.
No, I remember drinking, warm beer and thinking, oh, this is disgusting, but I want to do it because of the social pressure involved. Right. And, it seems like it's a fun thing to do. The buzz, yeah.
Well, and it started there, though. Like, even with beer, for me, Steve, I had to acquire a taste.
Yep.
Even for beer in college, like Nick said, it would be disgusting, but then eventually I enjoyed it, and then you move on from there. Same thing with wine. I didn't drink wine at first, and then I learned to appreciate it and enjoy it, and same thing with cocktails.
But legitimately, you could drink a beer and love the taste of it.
Yes.
The other day. All right. Yeah.
Okay.
I remember actually almost.
Oh, God, yeah.
I remember. I'm telling you, I'm sorry to interrupt, Casey. The first beer of the weekend.
Yeah.
It tastes so good. I mean, Steve, quenching your thirst, the whole thing. It's really, really good. Yeah.
But I do remember, almost throwing up on every sip of beer when you first started. My best friend, he is a beer guy, right?
Yeah.
And he loves,
beer guy of everyone.
But when we were in college, he didn't drink beer at all.
Really?
Yeah, and you won't find a light beer in his hand. He is one of those, he'll only drink an IPA or a stout or a porter or whatever. Right. But dude, when we would go to parties, he would have a bottle of Amaretto and sour mix, and he'd be pouring his own Amaretto sours because he liked drinking and he liked getting drunk.
A real sweet.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, drink. Okay. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of it's considered a starter drink. You know what I mean?
I'll dabble. Occasionally I've had, I literally had a wine that my former neighbor Brian sold that was basically, it was Welch's grape juice is what it was.
Was it Moscato?
No, it was called Queen Bee. Yeah. I mean, it was literally.
You might actually like Manischewitz. It's like that. Yeah, it's like grape juice. Yep.
I'm curious, the White Claw, that seltzer.
From Liar Liar?
The thing that's going on right now. What does that taste like? Does it? Because I don't drink
a White Claw,
and the White Claw, the seltzer drinks. It started well after I stopped drinking.
White Claw tastes like hairspray.
Yeah, I've only had a couple. I don't care for the seltzer drinks.
I found the ones that are made with the malt liquor, a White Claw. I personally don't really like them, but there are seltzer drinks. High Noon is what I love, and that's just a vodka and a seltzer mixed together.
Okay.
It's not the malt liquor. So for me, that's a better tasting canned drink.
So compare it to I drink LaCroix, so what does it taste like in comparison to an actual just a seltzer drink?
And I drink flavored seltzer all the time. That's just kind of my the non-alcoholic. That's my everyday drink. But I've only had a couple of the hard seltzers.
I would compare it to that. It's not case. They're not overly sweet, which is why I like them. So I would compare it to a flavored seltzer.
Okay.
But it's got a little bite to it. You can taste the alcohol in it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think just for my own personal taste, if I'm going to have something like that, Casey, I'm going to make it on my own. And I get the convenience of buying a six-pack of these or whatever. But if that's what I'm in the mood for, a gin and tonic or something, a vodka soda or whatever, I'm going to get a soda.
I think these have less alcohol, though, Nick. So if you were to make your own, you would probably put, there'd be the alcohol content would be a little bit higher.
Yeah. All right. So going back to how people categorize themselves, depending on what they order, those who preferred light colored drinks, like I was saying, like vodka or wine, are most likely to describe themselves as introverted at 61% and relaxed at 60%, while dark alcohol drinkers are more likely to say they are logical at 46%.
Really?
This is what they're calling themselves.
Oh, yeah, well, of course.
And driven.
And have huge penises.
At 40%.
I mean, that doesn't describe me at all.
Half of all drinkers said that they felt embarrassed to order their drink of choice in public, as did 49% of beer drinkers. Really?
Wait, they were embarrassed?
Yeah.
Why?
I guess maybe if they like a fruity tooty drink,
Well, yeah.
It depends on the environment. Listen, I love margaritas and pina coladas and stuff like that. But I won't order it if I'm at a party or something
that.
You know what I mean? Well, no, it's usually the location. If it's sunny, warm, I'll dive into
that. I feel like margaritas for anyone are okay.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe not like a daiquiri. I would view as a little bit different.
So like when you were younger, you're like when I want to look cool, I'll use a juice box, but I won't use the straw.
Oh, badass. Hey, you know what?
So my friend's son is a mixologist. I mean, he's like beyond a bartender. Like he creates these outrageous, awesome cocktails. I asked him because we were doing the Zoom session where he was teaching us drinks. I said, what do you as a mixologist when you go to a bar and you want to try out how good the bartender is?
Right.
What is it you order? He says a daiquiri every time. And he said, and most of the time, the bartender will say, do you work in the business? Because they ordered a daiquiri, just like a straight ahead.
So they would know that as a test?
Nothing on the menu as that's like got this outrageous, goofy, fun name.
Interesting.
Just like a straight up daiquiri. And he's like, and then I can tell if they're a good bartender.
Hmm.
I didn't think of that as a bartender's drink.
Yeah.
But he said it kind of is. And
so you would know that.
Concur if you're bartenders, if that happens to be the case. I'd like to know. 215-263-WMMR.
I went to a bar once. It was down in Florida, and they had a tiny little menu. Like there was just a few things on it. But what I learned was most people who go in just sit down and say, I like tequila or I like vodka or gin or whatever it is.
I like the Tin Man.
And then they just whip up, like they'll whip you up a drink. Like you can say, yeah, a little bit sweeter or, you know, like a floral taste or like whatever.
Is that the equivalent, Kathy, of sitting like at a chef's table at a restaurant?
I think so. I mean, it was awesome. It was really cool. And he made some really good drinks.
I still never have been to, is it Hop Sing Laundromat, Marissa?
Yeah.
She's recommended that they have the greatest cocktails ever. And someday I'm going to have to get there if they let you in.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
You got to know somebody.
They might not let you in.
Who knows somebody who knows somebody.
All right. So
somebody like you.
Anyhow, there's another story.
Son of a bitch!
By the way, somebody suggested I like this name, The Barkeep.
The Barkeep, yeah.
That's a solid name.
Yeah.
Miller Lite is hoping that you want your home to smell like a bar. The Molson Coors subsidiary is selling three signature candles to celebrate the reopening of bars and restaurants across the U.S. and Canada. And the candles come in 3 scents. You have Dive Bar, Beer Garden, and Game Day.
Oh.
I like that. I would get Dive Bar.
I'd get Beer Garden.
Would you?
Yeah, I went to a beer garden over the weekend. Longwood Gardens has one. It was delightful.
Was it delightful?
It sure was. Sitting outside, having a beer, smelling some roses. It's great.
They sell for $20 each online.
Half man, half lady.
Mostly lady.
All proceeds from the candle sales will benefit the United States Bartenders Guild, which is a nonprofit supporting bartenders and service industry employees. So if you want it to, you want your place to smell like a bar, and obviously it's, you know, it's a gimmick thing. I am curious as to what they would have those scents recreate.
Would you like that smell in your home?
I don't know. I'd have to take a sample. Kathy wouldn't.
I'm out.
Any scented candle is going to kill it for her. All right, I'm going to go to some bartenders. I'm going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning.
What's going on, guys?
Yo, bud. Good, man. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, my friend is a mixologist, would order a daiquiri to test the bartender skills or to see, you know, what kind of place he's in. Would you agree with that, a daiquiri?
I wholly agree with that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a three-ingredient drink. So it's one of those drinks that the fewer the ingredients, the easier it is to mess it up, right? You know, when you have something that has 5 or 6 or 7 ingredients in it, right, you can mess something up a little bit, but yeah, it's more like cooking versus baking, right?
Yeah.
So now you got like only like a couple ingredients, and you mess one of those up by like a quarter ounce or even like an eighth of an ounce.
Yeah.
It won't be good.
You know what? He was very specific in his measurements when we were making these drinks. He's like, okay, it's, you know, it's a quarter ounce of simple syrup.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Half ounce of lime.
So that's
three
test.
Quarters of an ounce of grapefruit juice. I'm talking about a Paloma, which has become my favorite drink. And, you know, and an ounce and a half of tequila and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And so very, very specific. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to work at Bluebird. I brought in the bottles for you a while back when I worked.
In Phoenixville.
You know me, Press.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
Nick lives in the town now. But,
I used to. But, yeah, but that's a cool distillery. Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Nice.
Thanks, Mike. Right, appreciate it, bud.
You got it, guys.
Nice. The Barkeep.
Let me go to a couple other quick calls here. I have Kim, bartended in Philly. Hi, Kim. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Kim. What's up?
Oh,
she just called to say hi.
Oh, you're back, Kim.
We were losing you. What did you want to share with us, Kim?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I bartended in Philly for a while. I bartended for 15 years. And a whole bartender handshake for Philly bartenders that I know is Fernet Branca. It's like an Italian aperitif.
Okay.
Digestive. And anywhere I would go, if I ordered a Fernet, they'd be like, you're in the biz, right?
That's a cool thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. The daiquiri definitely too, because nobody, like, there's so many bartenders out there that are just bartenders. And when they hear daiquiri, they think, strawberry daiquiri, frozen and sweet, but that's not what a daiquiri is.
Okay.
So
no, it's lime.
That's exactly what I was thinking when you said
no,
you sat down and ordered
it's not,
that.
Not frozen and okay, done in the blender.
In the mixer, yeah.
It's usually a lime daiquiri over ice, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So like if I've gone to a resort, like one time I ordered just a virgin daiquiri, and I obviously, you know, I'm a pussy here on this stuff, but it had like a light milkshake consistency to it.
Yeah, that's frozen.
Okay.
So they just it's lime mix probably and ice.
Okay.
You can make it at home. Just get the Minute Maid stuff and mix it up. And
tasted great.
You're good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super duper sweet and fruity and everything. So
everything I am.
Thank you, by the way, Kim. Appreciate it. All right, we'll see ya. Let me go to, we'll go to Chris. Hi, Chris, good morning.
Hey, guys, Preston and Steve, how are you?
Wonderful, Chris. So, can you weigh in on this? You're a bartender?
So, I'm not a bartender. Actually, this is Chris from Fathead. Remember us?
The band?
Yeah, the old band. So, I've really gotten into mixing drinks over coronavirus with a good buddy, and we've gotten into, like, you know, he's super into these crazy books. There's one out there called Death & Co., which is a bar in the East Village of New York. And every night when the crew's getting ready to start up for the night, they call it GDT. It's Gangster Daiquiri Time.
GDT.
Gangster Daiquiri Time.
That's hilarious.
They make a round. They just all make their own little twist on the daiquiri, which is really like 3 ounces of rum, half an ounce to an ounce of lime juice, and like a half an ounce of simple syrup.
Yeah.
Shake it up, double strained in a coupe with a little lime wedge for a garnish.
Nice.
It's the most basic drink. It's like the equivalent of a margarita with tequila. It's the most basic ingredients. And to your point, most places you go, they don't even have good gin up on the rack. And, you know, they would think that a daiquiri is a frozen daiquiri.
Okay. All right. Nice, Chris. Appreciate it, brother. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yep. What was the drink that Stanley Tucci had a video that he was mixing? Was that a daiquiri or was that?
No. Okay, yeah. I wasn't familiar with it, but apparently it was people love it, and he had given out the recipe. My friend, Zach Chapman is his name, who's, like I said, a mixologist. He had taught, and I told you the Paloma, which I had never had before, has now become my cocktail. I love it. And it's made, like I said, with rum, and I think, with tequila. I think you can make it with gin too. I know I'm going to wrap up here, Kesa. Grapefruit, lime, jalapeno,
nice,
and cucumber, and a little bit of simple syrup. And then he taught us this technique, which is you have all the ingredients in your shaker. You put one ice cube in it, and they call it rocking the baby to sleep. So you shake it until you can't hear the ice anymore.
Oh, that's great!
It disappears. And it's cooled it off just enough, and then you pour it over ice. And I'm like, I love that term, rocking the baby to sleep.
So you give this to it like a fussy child?
Yeah.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah. Yes, and it'll shut them up immediately.
I'm so fussy.
All right, this is all I have time. The bar's closed. Last call. But we have to break. I see that Brad Williams, can we come back with him? All right, thanks, Brad. Hang on the line if you don't mind. Sorry we're running really late, but we were talking about booze. What do you expect? We shall return with the one and only Brad Williams, who's going to be healing Comedy Club next week. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
WMMR. We're not just in your car anymore. Ask Alexa to open MMR, and we'll come streaming right into your house. And we promise, we're not listening to you doing stuff that often.
Our next guest is going to be at Helium Comedy Club next week, and we're talking to him this week because we got some days off next week.
Yeah.
But we'll talk to this guy anytime he wants to come on. He's one of the best. Please welcome Mr. Brad Williams to the show this morning.
Yay!
Good day, Brad.
Hey, guys, I'm so glad that after taking a year off for a pandemic, you guys can have some more vacation.
Isn't that great? We haven't gone anywhere, man. Yeah,
we've gone nowhere.
Hey, real quick, Brad, before we dive into things, Casey had texted you to let you know we were going on. You had texted back to him a thumbs up, a fist, and a mushroom. What does that mean?
I don't know. I was trying to be funny. Maybe, you know what? I think I texted the mushroom just to let them know that, yes, dwarves actually do live in mushrooms.
You do?
That is our home. It's how you know where we live.
Okay.
It's like, oh, I'm supposed to go to Brad's house. Which one is it? Oh, it's the mushroom with the door in it. That's
see,
why.
I bet there's a whole bunch that would just seems non-PC to think about. But I would like to think that there's a substantial population like the Keebler Elves living in trees. But you know, you can't say that, Brad. You know that better than anyone. You often rail against the PC assumptions in your act. And it's, all that stuff is great. You know, I have to tell you something. I watched a video of you and your lovely wife being interviewed. She's awesome. She's really good on mic. She's really good.
Yeah, it kind of scares me because maybe people will discover that they like hearing from her more. What do I do with my life? You know what I mean? Like all my 17 years built up as a stand-up comedian will just be thrown away, and then I become the house husband. Which, don't get me wrong, I've pretty much been the past year with the lockdown. So I think I can do it. She's fantastic, but she's also a martial artist. She's a fourth Dan black belt.
So I know.
I have to say she's fantastic because if I don't, that doesn't go well for me.
Well, you know, from what you told us before, and you told us about she's interceded on your behalf when you were performing at a venue here and there, and actually like bounced for you basically. So I sort of expected this, very sort of threatening. But she's super cool. Would you guys ever would you ever do any projects together, or is that something that you
want?
No, not going to happen.
No. She's very private. She's not even on social media.
Really?
So it's like, yeah. So I've chosen this life. She did not. She did that one interview because it was a friend of ours, and that's about it.
You guys, you'll swing together, but you won't work together, right?
Yeah, you got to have a boundary.
You remember our past interview. Yes, something like that, yes. Although now it's like that's gotten that particular aspect of our lives has been put on the back burner and don't know when the heck that's going to come up again because now we're parents and we have to be great examples for our loving, doting dog.
Well, as the swingers, isn't a great example of making sure that you keep that from your child is beautiful and everything. That's wonderful. But let me ask you: does it become a ultra frustrating, or are you pacing yourself, or how are you compensating? Because you both have prodigious appetites, we would assume. How do you handle that?
Well, it's very easy to not be so much in the mood when you're covered in another human species.
Some people, that's a turn on, though.
You know what? There's a whole subcategory. Like, yeah, that's what I Google on Pornhub. What are you guys talking about?
Right.
That's what I got to watch. But no, it's been interesting, you know, having a new kid. My daughter just turned one.
Wow.
And so during the whole lockdown, that's what we were doing. Because it was a pandemic, we didn't have a lot of help. We didn't have a lot of people coming into the house. No one, you know, because we didn't want to get anyone sick, which was really difficult, but at the same time, kind of nice because no one came in and like had their thoughts of like, oh, so you have a child or you're having a baby. This is what you need to do. Because that starts, as you guys know, from the very beginning. As soon as you announce that you're having a kid, people go, okay, when's the gender reveal party? Effing never.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hate those things.
Oh, you don't want to start a statewide fire by having a gender reveal party or anything like that?
No.
Yeah.
No, don't want to do anything like that. And also, how narcissistic do you have to be to think anyone gives a hoot if your baby has a penis or not?
Right.
Yep. Nobody cares. And besides, it's 2021. So even if they're born with a penis, you don't know if they're going to have it their entire lives
That's
anymore.
Right.
Yeah, right. You know what? Even if you don't want to seem like you're that's a good way out of that. You know, you can say, I don't know. Isn't that presumptuous?
That's up for them to decide.
Yes, knock it off. Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself, though, over the course of time, Brad, you guys becoming the kind of people who are doing the elf on the shelf and the leprechaun on the shelf and doing all these? We were talking about this yesterday, where parents just become so wrapped up in the minutia and the celebrations that it really gets away from them.
Well, thank God that I'm a dwarf and my daughter's a dwarf as well, so there will be no elves on the
You didn't even think about that.
Yes, that's right. I guess that's a good point.
Yeah, the only elf on the shelf is when my wife gets mad at me, puts me up on a counter and leaves.
For a timeout? She puts you in timeout.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, exactly. So there is no elf on a shelf. There will be no leprechauns in our house. None of that. No, I mean, like, pretty much Disney's The Snow White in The Seven Dwarfs. We still have to have a conversation about that one. So we're not going to get wrapped up in, like you say, the minutia of parenting. Like, I've enjoyed just this time where it's just been me, my daughter, my wife, and we've just been bonding as a family. It's really been great. So I don't want to do all that crap. Right. I just want to be a good parent. That's all.
That one year mark where she is a pretty magical time, because things start to happen. You know, words are forming. They start walking. Has she taken steps yet?
She has not, because as a little person, she's got a head the size of a bowling ball, and so she'll start walking eventually. But she has started talking.
But she's adorable, though. Yeah, I mean, we just saw a picture of her. I've seen a few pictures. She's adorable. So what? How long before she will be walking, do you think?
Oh, just should be literally a couple of months now.
Okay, all right.
On average, dwarves who have our type of dwarfism, she has the same type as mine. They walk a little later. Which, you know what? It's fine. We get a few more months of her on the ground. And
totally.
Being able to keep track of her, but everything else is advancing normally. Like I said, she started talking her first words with data, so I won that.
Nice.
Yeah. Said it while looking at me, too, so it wasn't like she was looking at Elmo and said data.
Is that crushing for Mama, or how does that work out?
She tries to say Mama, but her M's come out like B's, so she calls my wife Bob.
That's great.
Bob.
It makes me laugh every time we go and get her in the morning, and then she just wakes up and goes, Dada, Bob. And it just makes me laugh. I've started telling all my friends, yes, I'm raising my daughter with my partner, Bob.
Yeah.
You should start calling her Robert from time to time.
Be more formal. Hey, Brad, we were actually talking about you last week because it was St. Paddy's Day, and I believe Marissa had relayed a story about how whenever St. Paddy's Day comes around, you basically go into hiding. Do you shore up your house like Purge style?
Dude, for every dwarf, St. Patrick's Day is the dwarf version of the Purge. Okay, we don't go anywhere. We don't go out. If you guys want to go out and have the green beer, awesome. I don't, because if I go out to the bars, people just stare at me and go, "He knows where it is." I do not go out. It's like St. Patrick's Day and the Christmas shopping season. It's the worst. Those are the worst times to be a dwarf. So thank God for Amazon.
And I would imagine, on St. Patrick's Day it might be worse, because you get somebody who's really hammered and then they see you and they go, oh, my God, and just start, doing that routine.
Don't get me wrong. I have been to bars on St. Patrick's Day where people just start randomly tipping me.
Right.
Oh, that's good.
Well, that's got to be a perk.
That happens, and I pretty much don't ever have to buy a beer on St. Patrick's Day, because everyone thinks, like, well, if I buy the leprechaun a drink, it's fine.
Right.
That was a holiday where it's like the pandemic, I was honored and welcoming the pandemic during St. Patrick's Day. It's like, cool, now I have a double excuse to
stay home. Yeah, it's like a black cat on Halloween.
Now I stay home and I'm a hero.
It could.
So, Brad, we've been doing this show for 23 years, and we've had a lot of great moments in this studio. And one of my favorites, we took a video of you slam dunking on a little tyke's net. I texted that to you. I wasn't sure if you owned that footage or not, but it's slow-mo, and
it's
like we have it up on our Twitter page now, but I felt like it's something you should probably own yourself. I don't know if you recall that amazing feat.
Yeah, no, I do. And here's what we should do, guys, is we should get in on the NFT craze, and we should make that like an NBA Top Shot.
Yeah.
We should label it like 1 to 100 and then like resell them for $2 million or whatever the hell these things are going for.
Well, dude, you are, I mean, your form is really, well,
it's the Michael Jordan.
Yeah. It's the Michael Jordan splits in the air. It's badass.
Yeah. Well, that's my logo, and it's funny because everyone's like, oh man, you know, being a little person, it's got to suck. Yeah, sure, some parts aren't that great, but at the same time, my Jordans cost like $42.
Yeah. I mean, you got a beautiful wife, beautiful daughter. You got you know, all of this going on. So yes, there's a whole bunch of plus that goes with it, and you are physically very adroit and capable. So are you the kind of person? Do you work out in your downtime, or how do you stay in shape?
Dude, I got a daughter that I have to carry up and down the stairs.
Yeah, so, I guess that's enough.
I would say that that's going to be a new trend you're going to see in CrossFit gyms across the country. Just people lugging
children,
dwarf babies.
Yeah.
People just lifting Asian dwarf babies. They got to be Asian dwarf babies.
Okay.
Asian dwarf babies. Hey,
the right sort of balance.
Yeah, it's got to be really specific. And, you just lug them up and down the stairs and, wow, you got legs for days after that, my friend.
Hey, Brad, we know, checking your Twitter account, just see what you've been up to lately, that you were geeked out as much as we were as on WandaVision.
Yeah.
And there's been some great TV to at least fill the time with, especially now, you know, the Falcon and Winter Soldier's getting fired up and the Snyder Cut and all that stuff. You've been diving into all this?
All this, man. All this. I absolutely love it, and it's been a blast. I love the fact that I just watched Nate Bargatze's new special.
Yeah, we just had him on
Netflix. It was great. It was a great special. Really enjoyed it. It's nice. It's nice that now, like now that some of us couch potatoes can actually watch really good quality stuff, and I'm digging it, man. And now I heard like the NFL is going to ESPN Plus. Am I hearing that correctly?
Is that the story? NFL,
yeah, oh, man. The NFL Sunday ticket. So I'm.
Okay. Nerds. Well, then that's cool. I'm because that was only a DirecTV thing. So now it's an ESPN Plus thing.
I think I could be wrong. I'm sure some of your listeners will correct me on Twitter.
Well, I'm happy. Interesting. I'm able to get some English Premier League soccer games on ESPN Plus. So sometimes it's tough to find those games. But all right. Well,
that's right. You're a soccer guy. I forgot. None of us are good enough for you.
No, I am a football guy.
No, he bleeds green. He's
trying it out.
Eagles. Yeah.
So here's the deal. I watched Ted Lasso on Apple Plus.
Great show.
And I love the show so much. I'm like, okay, I need to start following Premier League soccer. So that's what happened.
Wow. So some of the highest paid, most athletic people in the world couldn't get you to watch soccer, but Jason Sudeikis doing a funny dance. Now you're in.
No doubt. Yep. No doubt. So
wow,
did you?
The power. That is the power of Jason Sudeikis. Everyone wondered, how did Jason Sudeikis get all these beautiful women and marry Olivia Wilde and all that jazz? How did he pull that off? He made people watch soccer. That's how charming this guy is.
So my friend Helen is from Manchester, so that also helped inform my decision to be a Man U fan.
Oh, okay. No, it's good. Because when you jump into soccer, being a Man U fan, that's like someone that started being a football fan yesterday and was like, oh, I'm going to go with whatever team Tom Brady's on.
Yeah.
So that's good. Yeah, good.
Patriots, Yankees, all that. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, totally fine. We have locally, we have Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny and Mythic Quest. He just purchased a soccer team with Ryan Reynolds, right?
Yeah. They're Wrexham. They're a few tiers down as far as the league is concerned. I don't even know if they're in the Champions League or not. But either way,
You guys just, all right, I'm going to bring this up because you guys brought up Rob, okay?
All right.
Have your listeners put a photo of me and Rob side by side, and I swear, Rob looks like me if I got the Mario Magic Mushroom and grit. Rob is my tall doppelganger.
I see
put
it.
Put some photos side by side.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I've done it. There's a few photos in my my Twitter feed. And, yeah, he is my tall doppelganger. So if ever I ever wanted to know what I would look like if, you know, I didn't have the dwarfism, it's Rob. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. After the pandemic, I'm closer to Rob the season on Always Sunny where he gained, like, 3 pounds for fun.
Right.
I'm closer to that guy. But, yeah, he is my tall doppelganger.
All right. Well, I actually have a better doppelganger for you. It's actually my cousin. It's
less famous.
Less famous. So, you know, people don't know Brian, but I'm actually going to text you his picture just so you can see it. But like, you guys could be twins. It's bizarre.
That's great radio for an audience.
Right.
Fantastic radio where you just say, "Hey, my cousin or the guy that bags my groceries." You guys all know who that is. Give the audience a real good visual reference.
Sure.
They totally know what's happening. No, yeah, great job. I can see why you guys have been on the air for 20 years.
Yeah. Well, whatever we're doing, it's working, and we figured the best way to do that is to deprive people of visuals, and that seems to work really well.
Mm-hmm. you guys
just awesome. Let's just you know.
Go past this part?
Well, no. I mean, okay. You told us to pull up a picture, Brad. So,
But everybody knows what Rob looks like.
Oh, everybody does? Okay. Every single person?
All right, we're going to nitpick this. Right.
Wow.
Why not?
Wow.
Why not?
What? Why did Preston and Steve eventually break up?
Is that freaking Brad Williams?
Yeah.
You know, the guy who's all jacked up from baby pressing.
Yeah. By the way, your show next Saturday is the 7:15 show is already sold out.
Dude. Yep. Excellent.
Yep. People love Brad Williams in this town, man.
Yeah, man. Philly is a great town. It's always been good to me. We actually have a local boy. He is featuring for me. He's a comedian named Pat House.
We know Pat really well.
Good friends.
Great
with
friend
Pat.
Of the show.
Yep.
He's great.
Yeah. From Philly. Great guy. So, yeah, and these shows are selling out because Helium does it right. They have it at a much less capacity, so we can space the tables out.
Love it.
And keep everybody safe.
Awesome.
And, you know, and so it's a good time to start getting back out there. And, heck, I know a lot of people have become vaccinated over the past month, so that's another reason that some people can get out there.
Yep.
I got my first shot 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
I can tell you right now, no side effects for me. I was kind of worried that one of the side effects would be, you know, cure dwarfism, and now I got to write a whole new hour.
Yeah. God knows that one.
Yeah.
You know, my wife would leave me because she's got a fetish. it'd be bad.
I didn't even consider those side effects.
You can't have to add up.
Wow.
COVID or no, you got to keep the act intact.
Well,
exactly.
Yeah. Brad's got several shows. So next Thursday, there's a show at 8 o'clock, Friday, 7:15 and 9:30. Like Casey said, on Saturday, just one show that tickets are available for now. And that's the 9:30 show, the later show. So you can get those tickets at heliumcomedy.com. Wish we were in town while you're in next week, but we wouldn't be able to have you by anyway since nobody's allowed to come into the studio. But nonetheless, very soon, next time around, we'll get
absolutely
you back in the studio.
And guys, I just want to say, all jokes aside, I love coming on your show. You guys are always fun, and your fans are great. I get tons of people coming to me after the shows that says, "Hey, we're here because we heard you on Preston and Steve."
Awesome.
And I love that about your fans. They're very dedicated. There's a lot of radio shows I go on where I'm just speaking into the ether. I'm
speaking to soccer moms. They're like, why is the dwarf talking? I want more Taylor Swift. So, I love you guys.
Thanks,
I
man.
I love your fans and can't wait to come to Philly.
Thanks. We love
we
you too.
Appreciate thanks, that, man. Brad Williams, guys. Yay! Take care, man. Safe travels. He's the best.
He's a good dude.
He's freaking hilarious. So awesome to have him on this morning.
And again, quite a slam dunk.
Yes.
We got that video up.
The little Tykes thing.
Oh, my God.
He was like, yeah, let me take a shot of this. I was like, okay, whatever. But he does this full on Michael Jordan flying in the air, legs spread apart, boom, nails it. And then he comes down and flexes right in front of the camera. So if you haven't seen it, it's awesome. And he breaks the rim on it, too. It's a badass. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. Some bizarre file stories yet to be shared with you and a few other things, so don't go away. We will be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, here we go with the bizarre file.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Preston and Steve's bizarre file.
And the B-File this morning is brought to you by Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. You can start each morning with a hot, fresh cup of Royal Farms coffee. And it's made one cup at a time from the finest coffee beans in the world. Freshly ground just seconds before serving. Chaos unfolded at a park last week after a driver was accused of slamming her car into a woman and a child.
Oh.
Wait till you hear the excuse, though. So the driver took down a portion of a gate before driving into a playground and hitting a grandmother and her three-year-old grandson. The grandmother, Chonda McLeod, saw a group arguing at Pompano Beach Community Park. She said they were on the other side and it was a fight, so we started to get all the kids, get them out of the park because we saw the situation was getting worse and worse. Fedeline St. Felix was behind the wheel of the vehicle that hit McLeod. She said that she went to the park to settle an argument with another woman and she got emotional. And then she said, I wasn't attempting to run her over, but then I see someone put her out of the way. Instead, McLeod said Felix came barreling towards her and her grandson, knocking down the gate in the process and driving into the park where kids were playing. She said, I was just running with my grandbaby, McLeod said. Had I not picked him up, she would have run completely over him.
Jeez.
And he would have been under the car. As I'm picking him up, she's just hitting us both, and we went flying over the car, and finally we hit the ground. St. Felix said she simply lost control of the car. She said, I was trying to find the brakes, but I couldn't find the brakes. I didn't mean to hit them. It was an accident, and I hope they are okay. They think maybe she was trying to run the other people over who she was having a fight with.
Hi, Grandmom.
St. Felix was arrested and appeared in bond court over the weekend, and she is not allowed to have any contact with the victims here on out.
Wow, that's a deranged individual there.
Yeah. We were talking about soccer a moment ago with Brad Williams. The Belize national soccer team was briefly held up by an armed gang while in Haiti on Monday for their scheduled 2022 World Cup qualifiers. The incident happened on the way to the team hotel from the airport ahead of Thursday's match. The Football Federation of Belize said in a statement, despite the four-man police escort, the team bus was stopped by an uproar of insurgents with assault rifles on motorcycles.
How many of them?
They said, we are pleased to report that our Jaguars, although shaken by their terrible experience, are safely at their hotel. The police escort with the team also apparently helped negotiate the release so that the players and staff could reach a hotel safely. They had to bargain a release for them.
That's no way to live.
The team is working with FIFA to try and get everyone into a safer location for these matches. So, yeah, Steve, it looks like there's at least a dozen of them in this photo.
Yeah, not good.
Looking at a state lawmaker's popcorn machine, which violated the building policy, was removed from the North Dakota Capitol after it triggered multiple fire alarms and caused legislators to evacuate.
But popcorn is so good.
I know. State Representative Mary Johnson, who owned the machine, had attempted to make a third batch of popcorn on Monday afternoon when the alarms were triggered for the second time that day, sending firefighters to the building. Johnson said that she was unaware of a building policy that bans toasters, popcorn machines, frying pans, plate warmers, and other food appliances from being used in areas outside of the Capitol Cafe. According to the rule, which was created by the Office of Management and Budget, facility management has the right to request for the appliances to be removed. They are in violation of this policy. And it set off a few fire alarms.
I think we should have an old-timey theater popcorn popper in our green room.
I wouldn't hate that.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. An Indiana man was arrested Saturday after he was found passed out in his vehicle while three children were in his hotel room with a loaded rifle. Michael Shackley was...
Second episode of Growing Pains.
Passed out in his driver's seat of the vehicle at the Roadway Inn when deputies approached him just before midnight. Deputies said Shackley was slurring his speech and smelled like alcohol when he told them he couldn't remember his hotel room number. Well, his room was about 25 feet away from where he parked his car.
Yeah, but I can't remember the number.
Investigators then noticed an AR-15-style rifle laying on an Army duffel bag that was clearly visible through the window of the hotel room. Hotel staff said a man and a woman were arguing and were yelling about the rifle in the room. The woman told deputies she received a text message saying Shackley was drunk again and that the children needed to be picked up. Deputies did not specify Shackley's relationship to the children. Investigators discovered the rifle had a loaded magazine in it.
Oh, man.
The children were safely picked up and taken out of the situation. Shackley was arrested and taken to Land O'Lakes jail. He's facing felony charge of child neglect. Let's see here. In North Carolina, deputies said a worker at the Conservators Center was bitten by two wolves on Saturday.
Two wolves?
Yeah. Authorities said deputies responded to the center on Saturday after two juvenile wolves bit a worker in both arms and a leg while being socialized. The worker was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries.
So it's one of these facilities where they raise the wolves and allow them to roam free, I assume? Or
I don't know if they roam free, but yeah. Maybe. So a statement from
the mice we let go.
Center said one of the center's professionally trained full-time animal keepers was performing routine activities with two of the center's juvenile wolves within the wolves' secure enclosure and separated from the public tour. During these activities, juvenile wolves bit the keeper. 911 was called. The keeper was transported for medical care. Due to the employee privacy laws, the center cannot release any information at this time.
What happened to the wolves, are they saying?
They didn't. I don't think they did anything to them from what I understand.
Probably a good talking to.
All right, one last story, and this one's pretty wild. A measure before the state legislature this session would allow Mainers to choose a death ritual that stretches back to ancient times but has largely vanished from modern-day America, and that is outdoor cremations. If adopted, it would let people in the Pine Tree State choose to go out like a Jedi or a Viking king.
That's pretty cool.
In a blaze of glory in the open air. Anybody who's watched Game of Thrones or The Phantom Menace has seen at least a fictional funeral pyre with bodies cremated on a bed of timber in a sometimes elaborate ceremony.
You could make popcorn over that.
They said it's a way of sending off the dead that's still widely practiced in some parts of the world, but there are only two sites in the United States where it is legal. Both of those are in Colorado, and only one of them is public.
Would it be considered inappropriate to make s'mores over that fire?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Depending on the the deceased, right. They may have enjoyed that. It's limited to no more than a dozen funerals annually. A bill before the state legislature would allow a nonprofit that possessed at least 20 acres to carry out open-air cremations one at a time and to scatter the ashes on the property.
I would assume that the body would have to be prepped. You wouldn't just lay the body down, right? I mean, you don't...
I don't know.
Would you wrap it up in like an Easy-Bake bag or something?
The ones that I've seen before, yeah, they wrap them in a shroud.
Right,
and then they light it on fire. A nonprofit.
I think you want to see your loved one going up in flames.
A cemetery group called Good Ground, Great Beyond, formed in 2018, is trying to get permission to have outdoor funeral pyres on a 63-acre forested parcel that it has owned for the past couple of years.
What if that takes off? Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a 2 o'clock on Thursday open.
I mean, the great one would be the water Viking funeral.
Oh, you shoot the flaming arrows?
You shoot the flaming arrow into the boat. That's pretty awesome. All right, and there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you. Let us break. When we return, we shall see if you've been paying attention because we have a lesson question, and then we have the trash, and then we have the music news, and then we're going to have milk and cookies right
now. Yes.
So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Gives me that Ooba Gooba feeling.
Ooba Gooba.
Ooba Gooba. William Shatner. Ooba Gooba.
Yeah. Should get him isolated saying that.
I know. I agree. We should.
That's what they call the Ooba Gooba, man.
It's 13 minutes after 10 o'clock, and this is a Thursday morning that we have, and 70 degrees. It's going to be nice and comfy. No rain really expected today, mainly clouds through the course of your day. And then tomorrow, we hit that 80-degree mark as you're heading into the weekend.
Mind-blowing.
It's going to be breezy, but it's going to be beautiful.
Doesn't matter.
Yep.
Anything above, like, 50, we're taking as a home run this
totally.
Time.
Totally. Yeah. 71 and sunny on Saturday. There may be some rain on Sunday, but we'll be getting close to 70 as well. And then it cools off after that. What I'm seeing for Monday is, like, mid-50s. But. We'll see how the rest of the week plays out. We're going to do a lesson question. We are going to ask for your answer. And if you get it correctly, we'll give away a pair of tickets to see Godzilla versus Kong on the monster screen in IMAX. And you'll also get free monster concessions. That's $20 per person. Pretty cool deal. Really squeaky microphone here. question we'll go for this morning is, I love this one. It's a listener-generated one. According to listener Chris, what does GDT stand for?
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. According to listener Chris, what does GDT stand for? Let's see if you remember that. He called in when we were talking about booze. 215-263-WMMR. We'll do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Jersey Mike's. And it's a month of giving benefiting Alex's Lemonade. Donate through the app or in-store. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Justin Bieber made a special trip to the California State Prison of L.A. County to deliver a motivational speech to the convicts. Bieber told the cons that if they stay on the straight and narrow, then one day when they get out, they just might meet a girl as pretty as Justin Bieber.
Hey!
A third movie based on the lives of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle being produced for Lifetime Television. In Harry and Meghan escaping the palace, the royal couple builds two emotionless android replicas of themselves that eventually sit down for an interview with Oprah. So there you go.
Oh, my God.
And finally, excuse me, fans of Chrisley Knows Best gearing up for a big season finale after teasers were released by the USA Network. Many are wondering if this is the year that the entire Chrisley family admits that they all realize their dad, Todd, is obviously gay. And that's all the trash.
Okay, let's see if you know the answer to this. According to listener Chris, what does GDT stand for? And I am going to go to Edwin. Good morning to you, Edwin.
Good morning, Preston.
All right.
Long-time listener.
Oh, thanks for calling in. Let's see if you can be a winner, my man. According to listener Chris, what does GDT stand for?
That would be Gangster Daiquiri Time.
Yes. Yeah. Gangster Daiquiri Time is correct. Edwin, hang on. We are going to give you a pair of tickets to see Godzilla versus Kong on the monster screen in IMAX, plus free monster concessions. It's up to $20 per person. Legends collide in this long-awaited face-off against two mythic icons as the fate of the world hangs in the balance. In theaters and streaming exclusively on HBO Max, March 31st, and there's rated PG-13, by the way. Here we go.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Hulk smash!
Pituation. Brought to you by Jersey Mike's, month of giving benefiting Alex's Lemonade Stand, and you can donate through the app or in store. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. This I never knew. System of a Down bass player Shavo Adagian is still cool with the Kardashians, but seems to have distanced himself from Kim Kardashian, soon to be ex Kanye West. During an interview, he said that he used to be good friends with Kanye, adding, "I like the Kardashians a lot." Adagian and other System of a Down members and the Kardashians are of Armenian descent. And the band has used their music to raise awareness and money for the nonprofit Armenia Fund. According to Adagian,
He said, oh, I know the Kardashians quite well. He said he used to be very good friends with Kanye, though this was a few years ago now. I've been to their house a lot, and they're just like you'd imagine they'd be, he said.
He said he played lawn darts with them.
He said, very cool, personable people. In fact, when System of a Down was asked to play the Armenia in 2015, come to find out that Kanye had just played the same venue a week before we did. During the interview, he also talked about his new boutique of cannabis lifestyle brand, which is called 22 Red. But I had no idea that the Kardashians and System of a Down were tight like that, but they are.
He'll probably stay with the Kardashians and break away from Kanye. Just want to go out to the ranch.
Alter Bridge frontman Miles Kennedy took time out to salute his close friend Wolfgang Van Halen for the success of his debut solo single Distance, which, of course, he wrote and recorded in tribute to his dad, Eddie. He said that he spoke about Wolfgang's solo career launch, saying it's very exciting. He said, and it's nice when you have been having discussions with people and then they see it and then they're like, yeah, I mean, it's true. He's just this force of nature and he can do it all. Kennedy went on to say, I'm absolutely thrilled for him and I'm really happy to see how it's given me faith in humans again. And he said after his father passed away, and everybody just poured in with so much love for the guy. And then he releases this beautiful song, and it's found its place in the world. It's a beautiful cycle of just good, positive energy. So, yeah, I'm super proud of Wolfie, and he's going to have a good run. He's a
beautiful man.
Yeah. E Street Band guitarist Steven Van Zandt will publish his memoir. It's titled Unrequited Infatuations, coming out September 28th.
That's a lofty title.
The book will cover Van Zandt's time as a musician on the Jersey Shore, his tenure with Bruce Springsteen's assorted bands, and his work on such solo projects as the Disciples of Soul and an anti-apartheid Sin City project, and, of course, his acting role in The Sopranos and beyond.
Has anybody listened to Springsteen's podcast with President Obama?
With Obama? No, I have not. Van Zandt said...
Yeah, we should do is you fart in mason jars.
You learned that from Bono.
I don't think I want to do that.
Van Zandt said...
Bono did it once.
The Beatles did it, too. Did they not?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, it was the Beatles, not Bono. I guess they've all done it at one time or another.
I don't think I want to do that.
Van Zandt said in a statement, I've seen enough things that could be useful that justified writing them down and sharing them. As far as my life story, well, I hope this book explains it to me. So that is coming out in September. Dave Grohl will forever be a drummer at heart and took time out on the Tiny TV webcast to salute two of his greatest influences, Rush's Neil Peart and Led Zeppelin's John Bonham. He explained experiencing his first Rush album. He said, first of all, I didn't have a drum set when I first heard 2112, so it was just pillows in my bedroom. And I put a record on this pillow, and it was my hi-hat, and this pillow was my snare. And the first album that I really noticed the drums on was 2112 by Rush. Someone gave it to me. And that was the first time when I really listened to the drums. I couldn't play what was being played on the record, but it was the first time I thought, wow, drummers do that? Oh, my God.
So one thing I've noticed about drummers, Press, and you are totally guilty of this, is everything is a drum set at,
sure.
at some point. I watched your dog was a drum set the other day.
Yeah.
And luckily your dog likes it. So.
Yeah, I'm petting her and knock it out of rhythm at the same time.
And don't most drummers put their copy on the edge of a garbage can?
Yeah, that too. It's a little,
that's a drummer thing.
It's a little ism that we have. And he also went on to say, and then over time, I think my biggest epiphany was when I discovered Led Zeppelin, and then that's when I really started listening to Bonham, and that's when I discovered how drumming can not only be powerful, but poetic, and that's what I got into. I mentioned this earlier this morning, but I'll run this by you again. We had the story yesterday about the ashes of Lemmy Kilmister. Friends received a bullet casing filled with the late rocker's ashes in it at his request before his death. And now it's been revealed that Prince's ashes will also be the subject of some interesting treatment. The fifth anniversary of Prince's death is coming up. I mentioned this yesterday as well. And to mark the occasion, Paisley Park officials are putting Prince's ashes on display in the Minnesota compound.
I assume some sort of elaborate or ornate urn will be.
I'm guessing so.
He'd probably do something over the top, wouldn't he?
Yeah, with maybe that symbol.
Yeah.
The Prince symbol or something like that. But
Earned, formerly known as Prince.
There will be no regular tours that day, but fans fortunate enough to reserve a visit through the Paisley Park website will be allowed in for a 30-minute visit to the atrium. There will be 70 time slots available, with each slot limited to just over or just about 20 visitors. So that is one of the things they will feature. And that is all I have in music news for you this morning. We have one final break to take. We're going to do that very thing. Come back in a moment. Letter of the day, word of the week prize. That's on the horizon. So stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Cannot hear the song until you hear the laugh. That's my rule.
Yeah.
Don't break it. It always reminds me of the first Batman movie, the Tim Burton one.
Yeah.
At the end with the laugh box.
Yeah.
Ozzy, obviously.
That would be great if we invented that. The hell is that?
Crazy Train on MMR. It's 10:32.
Jesus.
Mine.
Mind you, that's Casey.
Yeah.
For those who don't remember,
sulfur
hexafluoride. We were new. it's a legitimate laugh.
Yeah.
No sound effect or nothing. Let it play all the way out.
The video's great.
Yeah.
Because you're singing a church song before and you start cracking
Deep
up.
Deep River. All right. Anyway. What was I going to say? Oh, I know what I wanted to mention. Marissa told me of this just recently, and it is a bracket contest on Barstool Sports, and it has to do with favorite bars, dive bars or just regular bars. I'm not really sure. I'll have to take a look at it. But one of Kathy's favorite places from her
favorite of all time.
Yep, of her days at Westchester University is Jake's is the only local bar that's in this contest.
She mentioned that they used to have cheap beer there, right?
50 cents all day, every day. They upped it years ago to $1, I believe. So it's still $1.
Mm. So you can vote, and you can only vote till noon today. So we're running out of time.
Yeah, vote for them.
Yeah,
it's a great tiny little place. Obviously, if you went to Westchester, you've been there 9 million times. But even people who didn't go to the college, when you come into town, one of the places you visit.
I went there, and I don't know how I ended up there. I was in Westchester for something, and we popped in there for a few minutes.
That was like our place if it snowed or rained or it was windy
or sunny.
That's where you
or autumn or winter or spring or summer.
And I lived one block away from it, so that was
You could crawl home from that.
Oh, and I did.
Yeah. I'm sure you did.
You were like Norm.
Wow.
This is my college experience, but from that bar, my friend lived across the street. Him and a bunch of guys lived in this house, and it was the opposite direction from my home, but it was right across the street. So our route to get home would be out the door, go just a house away from in the other direction, walk through his house from the front door to the rear door, because the way his house was set up was you had to walk through the bedrooms. So we'd walk through everyone's bedroom, wake them up, and then go home.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Wow.
So how do you go and vote for this? I'm on their Twitter feed right now.
I think Marissa retweeted the link, I believe.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Hold on. Marissa's wagging her finger. Hang on a second here. Yeah, Marissa.
Grab your attention. Yeah, the way to vote for it is by tweeting out using hashtag BestBarJakesPA.
All right.
BestBarJakesPA. So if you go to our Twitter page, you'll see the tweets with that hashtag. Copy and paste it. Send it off. They got a tweet from like Asher Roth. He's at a rapper from the area. And let's
cool.
make them win.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Marissa. Speaking of thanks, I'm going to continue that. I'm going to mention Derek Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Derek is a cancer survivor. He is a heart transplant recipient, and he is doing an event called the 156 over 24 Challenge for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. It's May 22nd Starts at 10 a.m. It ends the next day at 10 a.m. It's 24 hours of cycling on a stationary bike. You can either do it yourself. You don't have to do the full 20 hours. You can get a team together like Casey's doing, and you can split it up into shifts.
Yeah.
Or you can simply donate and help to fund the fundraiser.
It's a wonderful thing.
RecycledManSpeaks.com is the website, and it's an amazing story that he has. And also our friend Brad Williams.
Yay!
Helium Comedy Club next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The Saturday shows are selling out. So if you want to see Brad, get those tickets now at heliumcomedy.com. He's awesome. We love having him on. So that was cool. Letter of the day. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
C, as in cash.
All right. And we do indeed have cash to give away. $500, to be more specific. Part of the T-Mobile 5G Fridays, where T-Mobile is giving away 5Gs in the name of speed with the Preston and Steve show. For another shot at $500, you click contest at WMMR.com and enter to win one of five $500 online prizes. T-Mobile is the first to bring 5G speeds to cities and towns across America. Coverage and speed. Who says you can't have it all? T-Mobile, are you with us? Like, thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve radio program brought to you today by Sequoia Outback. Don't miss the annual spring in Sequoia sale. DeckSupplies.com. Also by Steak'ems, the delicious thinly sliced meat brand. And also Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors. Tomorrow is a no sad Friday. We have comedian Tony Woods join us. Actress Taryn Manning will be on. And there's a chance we may have a local actress and star, Maria Bello, on the program.
That'd be cool.
Villanova gal. She's awesome. So we'll see about that. That is it. We are done. Rage on and have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, friend. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Small Business Love Help You Line.
Hey, WMMR. I'm Deborah Bradshaw, producer director of No Pants Productions at Rowan College, South Jersey. Our On the Fringe Festival is happening on March 26th at 7 p.m. Five short plays, all free to a good home, but you have to register on Facebook at RCSJ On the Fringe 2021 to get the link. Help support local theater and the arts. I hope to see you on Friday, and thanks.
Next message.
This is Rafi from Vegas Vapes, here to tell you that you don't have to gamble anymore to help yourself quit smoking. With locations in Bryn Mawr, Folsom, Trapp, and Upper Darby, PA, the Vegas Vapes crew is here to provide service and skills to help and guide you through your decision to stop smoking habits. We provide vaping products, vaping kits, as well as CBD and vaping accessories. So check us out at VegasVapes.com. First-time customers get 10% off. The Vegas Vapes crew wishes you safety and health during these tough times. Stay safe and MMR rocks.
The Love You, Help You line. Shop local because small business needs our help. Find out more at PrestonAndSteve.com. 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first. Sponsored by DellAutoGroup.com, where Jack really does sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.